Crown, how you doing, dude?
I'm having a problem. Our VPS went down in the US, so I'm having to rebuild the UK one. And I'm trying to connect bot up to stream AUG, but every time I do, it says current sample bitrate not support. Well, Vorbis doesn't support current sample bitrate, and the sample bitrate field doesn't allow me to go up and down for some reason. Anyone, any ideas? No, we don't have any AUG streams at all. The whole the VPS in the US went down. Yes, but are you streaming? How do I stream to that? No, when you said earlier, when do you mean earlier?
Yeah, Crayon,
Okie dokie.
that's what he's talking about, Crayon. The primary bogs are down.
Okay, well, I was here 4 hours ago, didn't see it. Pokey! I thought that
Hey.
was Popey. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How you doing, Ken?
Glad you could make it.
Yeah, unfortunately, I won't be able to stick around, for most of it, but I wanted to say Happy New Year to you guys and tell you how thrilled and excited I am about the whole thing. You guys have done a tremendous amount of work. It's very, very impressive.
It is indeed. I'm amazed. I really have an understanding of what you were talking about last year, how the community just comes together and puts this thing on. It's fantastic. Ah, there she blows. Could you paste in the URL to that and I'll redirect it to hackerpublicradio.org/AUG and set up the restreaming script. Greetings, the love bug. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for coffee and a selection of classic cool sounds brought to you by CC Hits and the Bugcast. Let's just check that again then, because I wasn't earlier.
Hey Ken, somebody's got to say Happy New Year because the clock on the HPR front page is an hour off. It's New Year's, so Happy New Year's to everybody who just was on the dateline. Yeah, I don't know if anybody's actually on or listening down there, but I
Yeah.
had my clock set for the McMurdo station in Antarctica, and they are at 0 hours right now. So, Happy New Year's if anybody is listening to the stream down there. I hope so.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Kiribati and Samoa are over there too. I don't know. It's pretty cool though. Happy New Year's, everybody. It's still too early here, but it's late there.
Happy New Year.
How you doing, dude, man?
Oh, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound good. I can hear the kids laughing too. That's great.
Yeah, it's pretty good. They got one of those inflatable balls you can hop along on. So they're just jumping on it and screaming. How are you doing? They're about 1 meter away from the microphone, just to make it nice and easy for me.
Hey, Ken, did the MP3 stream get moved out of the room on purpose?
So that's it, folks. Welcome to Hacker Public Radio's New Year show. As you can see, we're as well organized as always. Actually, we're very well organized all year. Unfortunately, we're having some minor technical issues right at the moment. And cool, let's carry on.
Hey Ken,
Yes?
did the MP3 stream get moved out of the room on purpose?
I didn't move it on purpose, so if you can move it back, please, that would be great. But we moved it back. Excellent. 1 second now, and I'll just check and see if the other stream is working.
Okay, well, somebody ought to talk while he's checking so he's got something to listen to.
Okay, that's excellent. The MP3 stream is back, and the mirror stream is working. So, folks, if you want to join in and you don't want to talk, but you do want to listen, you can go to hackerpublicradio.org/MP3. That's hackerpublicradio.org. /MP3 for the MP3 mirrors.
And I don't know if you heard me say it already, Ken, but the clock on the front page is an hour behind, so it's already
not at all. It's all working perfectly. Everything's fine. No, nothing here. The show is now live and will be live for one more day, 53 minutes and 56 seconds.
Right on.
I still need to post a show for today, so I reckon I'll just chop up this. So how are we going to do this, Pokey? What's your plan?
What's my plan? I'm not going to be able to stick around the whole time, so sadly.
I have no intention of sticking around either the whole time, but at least I'm recording the first part of it. I hope you are as well.
Yeah, I'm setting it to record, and I hope it stays up when I have to walk away, but that's, you know, I'll try to pop in and out if I can. But, you know, some personal stuff has come up, and I wanted to be here the whole time. It kind of makes me sad.
Nah, it's all right. Life is a way of happening. So the love bug, if you could disconnect. Ah, thanks, dude, man. Keep recording. Good man. I'm recording over here, but I'm kind of worried my laptop has only got a small hard disk, so we'll see how it goes. Yes.
The MP3 stream moved again.
Who's moving that back?
I moved it back. I don't know why it moved out.
Whose is the MP3 stream? That's not Kevin's, is it?
Yeah, that's Kevin's one. And the QDNX stream is Crayon's OG one. Yeah, if you're just going to listen, Dave, if you want to talk, actually you could unmute and we could say hello for a while. If you're just going to listen, it'd be handy to... cool, listen on the stream. Exactly, perfect. Yeah, folks, we have a limited number of connections on the Mumble server, and even aside from that, the room gets pretty crowded, so what will do? HP or MP3 moved to OpenSpeak by the server. Why is it pushing it down there, Pokey?
I don't know why it keeps doing that. I'm trying to see if there's some settings that I can look at for that. I don't know what that's about.
Whoops, sassy pushing to talk. That's going to be killing the people who are listening on the live stream if we keep doing that.
I'm currently logged in via TeamViewer to Kevin's machine, and I can't see anything on his machine that's moving in and out of the room at all.
Okay, thanks, Juman.
Yeah, it looks like the server keeps doing that.
So for those listening along, there it goes again. The server, for some reason, is moving. The HPR streamer.
Ken, dragging it back in. You should be an admin.
No, I'm not an admin of the whole server, just of the HPR room.
It's also the message that you get when you move yourself. So,
oh, okay.
I'm not entirely certain what's going on either, but
seems very odd. Anyone want to Google and see what's going on?
Is this what happens sometimes when someone isn't active on Mumble for a long time? I wonder if Kevin has left it open for a long time and it's kind of timing out or something.
Yeah, possibly. Are you able to go in there and type something and unmute it for a second and just give it some activity?
Yeah, sure.
There it goes again. You're killing me, bro. You're killing me. Okay, well, let's see what that is. We're unmuting and sending a message from the HPR MP3 stream. Let's, seeing as we're here, let's talk the fact that I can't get pushed to talk work. So the setup as it is at the moment is there's a Mumble server, Mumble Room hosted by Linux Basics. Guys, thank you very much for that. Then feeding off of that, we have two people running, I think, BUT, which is a broadcast using this tool. And that pipes it into Icecast server. So the MP3 one is run by Kevin Wisher. Thank you very much, Kevin. And the OG is run by Crayon. Thank you very much, Crayon. And both of those then are the master streams for their Icecast servers. Really, the only thing you need to do is apt-get install or yum install Icecast. Set the username, three passwords, one for the admin, one for the relay, and one for the host. I don't think you actually need to set a password on the relay server. Then that pipes on through. You create a mount share. It's a fairly basic XML file, mount, and then the mount name is streaming for the MP3 and streaming.og for the OG. And then the broadcast using this tool, but tool is simply set up to pipe in audio from the room into the onto somewhere else. So you give it an IP address, port, and the password of the Icecast server, and it just pipes into that, and then you've got a streaming Icecast server. And then off of that, we have a script, a PHP script that runs on the hackerpublicradio.org/mp3 and /og site. And that simply just keeps a track of where people are coming from. And then we'll have a look at the load of the various different servers. And then we'll redistribute the load then among the various different web server or streaming mirror servers. So if you actually want to set up a mirror yourself, it's relatively straightforward here for Hacker or Public Radio. You just put in relay. Yeah, and it looks like the MP3 is behaving itself. So perhaps it was that dude man that it kept falling out. And then the relay just has the server name, port number, and remote mount point of the master server, and then the local mount point. And then what we do is, based on the number of listeners that we've seen go through, or that are on the server, then we'll send it as a percentage of users. And for my information, Crayon tells me that he's using Dark Ice, which is fantastic news, because as soon as he gets a microphone figured out, he'll be able to come on and tell us exactly how he's doing that. So Crayon also wrote a PHP script, which we have on the website. It's two parts. It's a little batch file that runs every minute, and it connects to the all the mirrors in turn and finds out the current number of listeners and the max number of listeners and stuff like that. And then the PHP script will simply divvy the incoming connections out based on that. So all in all, pretty cool. So I actually would like to nip off here for a moment for various different reasons. One being that I need to have a cup of coffee. Two, I need to talk to Crayon about getting the OG stream working up. And three is I need to go to the water closet. Probably more information than anyone needed. So, dude, man, can you entertain us with talk of cows and the like while I'm gone?
Well, it won't be so much fun if I can't poke you about it, you know, and tease you about your dislike.
I wouldn't mind having a quick chat with you online here about that. That's absolutely fine.
Now, you go for your water closet. I've not heard them called that for a long time. You go there. Yeah, we don't want an accident or anything, do we?
I'll just get a little booklet or something.
Need a full report when you get back, though, Ken.
Thank you.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Or afternoon, or wherever you are in the world. Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Ken. Yourself?
I am great, and thanks very much for coming on board, and thanks for the for organising the stream with the UK podcast guys.
That wasn't me, actually. They did that themselves.
They're so nice. And, speaking of the mirrors, I'd like to thank Corbatu, Pokey, of course, from the Ubuntu UK podcast, and Bert as well, who has provided, at this point, some mirrors. And I think Dan and who else? Delwyn is providing some additional mirrors as well, Dan from the Linux Link Tech Show. So, again, thanks to everybody for doing that. We really do appreciate it.
Did you get the details I sent through, Ken?
No.
Ooh, definitely sent them.
One sec.
I did. I promise I did.
Oh, you have another one. Cool.
No, just the one.
Just the one. But you're streaming the OG stream, are you?
Yes, yeah, on, the OG stream. I thought that would be a bit more, cool. Friendly.
Excellent. I'll use that now in a minute, because we're just going to go and build a OG mirror network now in a minute. We have just a little bit of work to do.
Fantastic.
Tell me this and tell me no more. What's the max number of streams on that?
It's set to 100, so hopefully it will cope with that.
Super duper. Okay. Anyone want tea, coffee, beer?
Yeah, I'll have a bit of coffee. Too early for beer.
Okay.
I'd love a coffee right now. I'm gonna go
Kenyan dark roast?
Can I have cream in my one, please?
Sure, no problem. Run out. I don't have any cream. Can you run out to the buyer there and get us some?
I'll nip out and squeeze some out.
Anyway, I just popped on to say good morning. I will be back later on. So, catch you later.
Cool. Good to hear from you. Thank you. Happy New Year.
And to you.
I'm going to go ahead and drop out now, too, before I start snoring. Happy New Year, and I shall also return at some point.
Cool.
So, which countries or time zone is it New Year already? Because we still have a good 12 hours here in middle central Europe.
I had my clock set to, I forget the name of the station, but in Antarctica, and it's time was 0:00 there. So yeah, whatever's right on that side of the date line.
Not so many people yet then.
I don't know. There could be like a whole village for all I know. Or a whole city. I don't know.
None of us know.
Yeah, they've gone and made the dateline thing very, very confusing. So, you know, we've got a good excuse to not know. When Ken gets back, I have to ask him how he's got the music server set up, because that was sounding really good.
Yeah, he was streaming from his box, I guess, from his machine directly. Set some jack up or something like that, has he? Or just an audio output into another computer? Or maybe it was live. Has he got something live in his living room?
I don't know. When he comes back, I'm going to have to ask him. I wonder where Klaatu is. He said he wanted to be here the whole 24 hours last I heard.
We are at the right place, aren't we?
Yes, sir. This is where it is.
I wonder if the other people are meeting up somewhere else and there's a much bigger party, you know?
Yeah, they always do that when I come around.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know. It's not on any of the list of servers that I've been given addresses to.
It's not that early in the US, is it? I thought Kevin and some of the other guys would be here already by now in the morning.
It's 6 a.m.
Oh, I take that back then. Yeah, that's quite early.
No, it's all right. 6 a.m. is not bad. If I were going to work today, I'd already be out the door. I'm trying to get out the door before my coffee right now. Morning, CT. Good evening, and Happy New Year's at least.
Have you got your microphone muted, CT?
Yeah, buddy, you're lit up, but we're not hearing anything. So I tried a daring thing, dude, man. You're going to like this.
Oh, tell me. What's that?
I still have to edit it. I recorded it. I did a show on an introduction to editing OpenStreetMap.
Ah, a video one? Because it sounds like it's a bit more visual.
No, that's what's so daring about it.
And it was hard work to describe it all with words, was it?
Well, yeah, I think so. It wasn't so hard to describe it with words. I'm hoping it's easy to understand is the key to it, though.
Yeah, good on you. Well, I look forward to listening to that and seeing if I understand it at all. It might not indicate that you did a bad job. It could just be me, you know.
Yeah, well, there's always that, isn't there? It's the very nature of communication, though.
No more wild interviews at all, Popey? I mean, Pokey?
No, I had one, I thought, lined up, but the guy kept not making it, or we wouldn't meet up or something. I'll probably email him one more time to see if he's still interested. But no, nothing planned just yet. No, after interviewing Richard, people kept telling me to interview Linus if I could, or ask for one. But geez, I don't know if I'd understand anything that guy would say. Technical, so I don't think I'd be a good person for that.
I'm trying to think what kind of questions I would ask him that would make any sense. I'm not sure. Maybe if someone got together and gave you a whole lot of questions and you could just put those questions to him, it might be easier, but I don't know.
Well, that's what I did for Richard. I mean, I had a whole bunch of questions ahead of time that people wanted to ask him, but, at least I understood the questions and understood the answers, because I can speak that language all right. I can understand the law end of it, but, if somebody starts talking about coding, goes over my head.
You're just not cut out for media, because I thought that was the whole point of media and interviewers, that they're not supposed to understand what's being asked and said, They just keep talking baffling their way along,
Well, maybe if it was a video podcast, I could be a talking bobblehead, but no one here to see that happen, and I can't bring myself to it.
Good on you.
Well, Ken gets back soon, so I can make some coffee.
Yeah, I didn't think he would disappear as soon as he started.
Yeah, I'm back,
you know?
I'm back, I'm back, I'm listening.
Is that really you, Ken, or is it some script you have set up to say, I'm back, I'm listening every time?
I'm back, I'm listening.
Well, yeah, there you have it.
I'm back, I'm listening. No, I got some nice coffee here now, I'm ready to rock. Do you have this tradition to put in Curse Crunches, little cookies in the Christmas tree?
No, we don't put anything edible on Christmas trees. I know in the old days they used to string up like popcorn and or cranberries with like a needle and thread, but we've never done cranberries, and I think we did popcorn once when I was a kid.
Oh, okay, cool. I think I found out what crayons URL of crayon servers, so I'm going to be happily busy doing that. Unfortunately, I never got the upgrade to be able to multitask, so there'll be long periods of silence, which truncate silence will get rid of. Hello, Crayon. Very good. Just talking about you, dude.
All right. What? Sorry, dude, man. What's up?
I was only going to ask Ken what time parameter he's going to use in his truncate silence so that I can make sure that I leave those kind of silences so it messes up his truncate silence and sounds funny.
Nobody wants to hear you anyway, dude, man.
All right, so Ken, I went ahead and bumped you and Klaatu and Dude Man up to admins because I had you as moderators for the server, and I thought you had the rights to move people in and out, but you do now for sure.
Okay, super. Thanks, Pokey. Appreciate it. Thanks very much for calling in. By the way, if you need to step out, that's fine. We'll take it from here, so to say. Put on my DJ voice. Tune in to Hacker Public Radio live 24/7. Crayon, go ahead over.
Sorry, are you able to hear me?
I am indeed, sir, yes. I understand you're camping.
Yes, how did you know?
I don't know, I'm psychic that way, you know.
Yeah, I'm currently sitting in a tent. The party's raging on outside. But I'm making the supreme sacrifice to be sitting here on a computer in a tent.
Camping, as in the body armor keeps spawning right where you're standing?
As in, I'm sitting in a tent. That kind of camping.
Huh, I had you figured for the other kind. That's pretty good, man.
I spent ages trying to get this microphone working, couldn't work out why it wasn't showing up in my audio devices, and then I realized it was. It's just that Ulsa prepends so much hex values that I missed the name entirely. It was right off the screen.
That's pretty funny, dude. It's fantastic.
Yeah, so I was there the whole time, but anyway.
So what time is it over there?
It's currently 22:27.
See, I told you. How far away from you are you from the international dateline?
If that's UTC, then I think it's 10 hours or something.
Yeah, exactly. But UTC, correct me if I'm wrong here now, UTC is exactly midnight, or is exactly 12 hours away from midnight the other side of the world, correct or not?
I don't know. I'm not very internationally knowledgeable when it comes, especially with time zones.
Obviously, we're not either, because we just missed the new year by an hour. So maybe there's going to be 25 hours in this new year, or 26 if we're lucky.
Yeah, I saw that in IRC that apparently some people missed out.
Yeah, you know what happened, Ken, is global warming caused the Earth to expand, and we had to add a whole new time zone.
Don't get me started on time zones. You think my dude, man, you think I go on a rant about cows? You only hear me starting when I get into time.
Yeah, I cheated, Ken. I just set my clock to Antarctica. I just found some place that was, you know, right past the dateline that was in the default configs for the time setting.
Cool. We have some. Have you seen that tweet from Cornomino and Becky? They have a whole studio set up.
Nice, that's pretty cool.
But it's not in a tent, though.
No, it's not in a tent. Yes, Crayon, we know you're in a tent. Well done.
Can I just draw attention to the fact that my girlfriend Sarah is also sitting here in the tent with me as support so that I'm not missing the party alone?
Yeah, everybody outside is thinking, oh, Crayon and Sarah have gone over to the tent. Oh, we all know what's going on there.
Well, actually... My family are here as well, and they've been coming over and saying, now I know you're doing something nerdy, but get out here and join the fun. And Sarah suggested we should shake the tent a little to keep them away.
Good news. Are you like mobile or whatever? Can you walk around and go over to the people and have them say hello?
I could.
Why don't you do that, sir?
I've got a large family. It would be pretty scary.
Yeah, no bother. No bother. I plan to have the kids on later.
Ken, it's December 31st. It's freezing out there. You don't want to leave the tent.
Yeah, poor guys. What are you doing camping? That's hardcore, those Australian guys, in the middle of winter.
It's the middle of... Oh.
There's frost and snow outside, and they're camping.
Crayon, can you say, that's not a camping trip?
That's not a camping trip. This is a camping trip. Oh, wait, that was an English accent, wasn't it? My bad.
You foreigners, you all sound the same to me.
Yeah, I don't think you realize, I don't think you guys fully realize how loud my family is and how numerous they are.
Don't worry about it. Just put them on.
Are you Italian? I'm Italian. I got a loud family.
No, they're actually English. Family, yeah. My family is, they're all English, of English descent.
So were you the governors or were you the prisoners?
Well, my mother's actually English, and she moved here. On my father's side, I think that goes way back to being a prisoner at some point, I believe. Well, he looks like one anyway.
Fair enough.
All right, it looks like I am mobile. I appear to be mobile.
Hi, Kevin. How's it going? We're just joined by Kevin Wish, who's just joined us. Kevin, to bring you up to speed, we're streaming live. Everything's cool. And Crayon's about to go outside and introduce us to his family.
Kevin hasn't had his coffee yet either.
Kevin, go have some coffee.
I'm approaching the campsite. Here we go. I'm approaching. There we are. Could everyone, just say hello to people on the internet and tell them.
Happy New Year, soon to be.
Happy New Year.
People all over the world. Hackers.
Don't spend it in your tent. Be out there socializing with your family.
All right.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Crayon, you kiss your mom for us.
Happy New Year, everyone from Holland.
See, Happy New Year. They can't hear you very well. The speaker's too small. All right.
Happy New Year from the U.S. regardless.
Well, that was eclectic.
Here as well. So there you go. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Eat my shorts.
Eat. All right, so there you go. That was an experience, wasn't it?
Excellent. Excellent.
I hope you gave your mom a kiss for us.
Oh, my mother actually had to get back earlier today, so she's back at home. She's not here.
Oh, I didn't mean to bring it down. Sorry. No, that was great though.
Oh, no. It's just she had to, it was just about car space, really. I couldn't fit her in my car. And I wasn't going back home until tomorrow, the next day. And so she had to bum a ride when she could.
Dude Man or Kevin, could you have a look there at the messages from Delwyn? We need you to nudge down the volume of the MP3 streamer smidgen, please. Super duper. And CT, thank you very much. CT's just posted into the IRC room. By the way, if you're listening to this and you want to join along the fun, there's you can join the Mumble settings, which is setting at the Hacker Public Radio page, or you can also join the IRC chat that's going along on Oddcast Planet on irc.freenode.net. Tune in after the break and we'll bring you some fresh sounds from Down Under with Crayon Camping. This is where we put in the Audible commercial.
Yeah, right on. So, the postage one. Jeez, that thing's everywhere. So what time have you guys got right now, Crayon? What time is it down there?
Currently it's... sorry, that's not the right voices. Currently it's 22:36 here in Australia, Pokey.
Nice.
Give us a weather report there, Crayon.
Everyone's having a wonderful time. The sky is black, which is not surprising considering it's nighttime. But the temperature is rather reasonable, and I was just outside in a T-shirt.
Yes, tough men down in Brain alert, rebooting brain. One moment, please.
Nice. Yeah, I got about 6 a.m. here. I know Kevin's in the same time zone. How about the rest of you guys? What time is it for you that we're starting out here?
You're right, there is, Pokey, there is, where is Kitimatachi or somewhere, is 1:37 in the morning. So you're right, we were an hour late. So this is going to be a 26-hour podcast.
Are there any listeners from Kitimatachi?
I'm sure there are, many, many.
And why wouldn't there be?
I think we should apologize then to the people of Kitimatachi for not being organized for them.
No, Pokey was there right on the ball. He wished everybody a happy new year. I was going, what the hell? That's for another hour. But anyways.
We'd like to wish a happy new year to Ungat Ungat Unk and Mrs. Unk and all the boys down at the tower.
That's as racist as it was now as it was back then when it came out.
I don't even know where it came from. I've just heard it so many times.
I just wanted to know if the stream sounded okay.
Whoops, I don't know. Anyone listening to the stream at this point in time?
I think Philip's just about to go and check.
Super duper, Philip. Thank you very much.
I did tune in between when I was trying to get the mic going, and it sounded okay, though the volume might have been up a little loud, maybe, but I don't know. It sounded okay, but I just wanted to get another opinion.
Okay. Cool stuff. I'm going to try and get the OG streaming mirroring thing sorted out now as well, so feel free to talk amongst yourselves.
Well, good morning, Becky.
Morning!
Oh, great. Becky's here. There goes the PG rating.
The decorum levels have just dropped.
Plump. Happy New Year, Becky.
And to you too. Is your panic over?
Nope. They've gone to the shops, actually.
Ooh, I hope they're listening.
My kids, no, they've gone to the shops. They're like hyper this morning.
Is every all systems go?
Yeah, pretty cool. The MP3 stream is up, and I'm just working on getting the Ogmer stream going. Unfortunately, the US VPS died, which is very unfortunate because I was kind of counting on that for all the Og streaming.
It died? What do you mean it died?
The server, VPS server, went down. It's inaccessible. Can't connect.
That's not good.
I sent Josh email. Let's see if he can bring it back up for us. Meanwhile, I'm the guys at Bytemark Hosting have also given us a VPS in the UK, and I'm working on getting that working as in English. I'm setting that up as a relay now.
Hey Kevin, how you doing? I wasn't sure if you were around, so I tried to turn the volume down a little bit on your streaming server. Someone had said it was peaking a little bit. I don't know if you looked at the same time or heard mention of that.
No, I just got in.
No problem. I turned it down a smidge, but I can turn it down a bit more, or you can, if it's necessary. It's still, like on those green and yellow and red lights, it still seems to peak a little bit. I don't know what it sounds like, though, on the actual stream.
The Og stream looks very clean, actually. Thank you, Crayon.
Good, good.
You know what I set up last night?
Sure, well, Ken. No, Ken. What did you set up last night?
You know one of those IKEA light things that you can use to hold your mic? There's plenty of how-tos on how to do it, so I decided to do that last night, and it was incredibly easy.
I love IKEA.
I hate IKEA.
Yes, and that pretty much summarizes my feelings on it as well.
I know who in that family builds them and who in that family uses them.
That's a lie. I build it and I use it.
And who in that family walks through the IKEA store for many hours rolling the trolley?
Actually, I've only been to IKEA once. It's but we have ordered stuff from there. We ordered a bed, didn't we? I built that. Did I? I built the bed. I'm sure I built the bed.
I was with you in the room.
Oh yeah, sorry. You built the bed.
I always get lost when I go through IKEA, through the maze of things which look the same.
Yeah, what surprised me about IKEA was everything was for sale. It's like even the little furnishings on the displays. They have like little pots and knick-knacks and stuff. And you turn them upside down and they've got a price tag on them. And I just thought they were there for show, but no, everything's for sale.
Yeah, even the fake plants.
Yeah.
But
He's got the same idea as I had when you guys say IKEA. The song from Jonathan Coulton pops in his head, just like it did mine. I almost started singing.
Which one?
IKEA, selling furniture for college kids and divorced men.
We're not divorced yet.
I haven't heard that before. I like Jonathan Coulton. I should check that out.
Oh, that's a great song. That's one that has stayed on my MP3 player since I've heard it.
That's why you sing it so well.
You're a liar, you filthy, stinking liar.
I wanted to say what I like about IKEA is I get to look in all the cupboards, and it's like visiting other people's homes and have a good nose around.
What are you doing at IKEA? Surely you make your own furniture, knocking it from the very tree that you've grown, from the very seeds that you gathered while out in your travel.
What, one of those bony trees that they sell there? I don't get how that works.
I go there to copy the designs, you know, and then I come home and I make it.
Oh, quick, call the RIAA or what the equivalent copyright police is.
He gets all of his best Whitland designs from in there.
The Furniture Industry Association of America.
I was going to say that the PFIAA, the Particle Furniture Industry Association.
Who's all going to be doing recording? Does it matter?
We're already started because apparently UTC is only 12 hours behind from the first time zone, is 13 hours ahead. So there you go. Press everybody, as many people can record as possible. Does that hurt the stream, do you think?
I don't think so. Is Door ZT, is that another stream?
I don't think that's a stream.
Don't know. I think that could be a feed to the... I don't know. I presume that was the feed off to the GNU Radio.net, but I don't know even if that's been set up.
Considering Peter64 was just asking what the address of the stream is, I wasn't sure what address you're using for the PHP redirect thing, but yeah, you might want to put it in the channel topic of Oddcast Planet as well.
Will do. If you go to the hackerpublicradio.org website, it's on there, right at the front.
Okay, so it is somewhere, yeah.
It's on the main page, including a Play Now button.
And I just put the links in the greeting page here for the room.
Oh, thanks. I was just doing that.
Is that correct?
Yep, perfect. You're perfect, Pokey. You're perfect.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah, you talk to my ex-wife about it. She'll tell you.
And so it starts. 24 hours later, Pokey. Still not finished. So, where were we? Becky, did you happen to hear that episode I did with Dave Morris?
Which one?
The one where I say you could skip it.
I can't remember that. When was that? The beginning of December?
Yeah, it would have been last week, I think, sometime.
I'm not that far ahead with my HBR listening.
Yeah, it's probably no harm. I slag you off during the episode.
No!
I'm afraid so.
It was pretty brutal. I was surprised you showed up today in such a good mood. I thought you would be swinging.
I'm going to go bloody listen to it now.
Now we know why, of course.
I'm made of thick skin. You can say what you want.
Yarp.
You can say what you want, but I've got to watch my words.
Too true. So how are you, Phil?
Yeah, good, thanks. I'm just sat here having a coffee, listening in, see what's going on.
Saw the photo on the website, or on Twitter.
Yeah, Alan Pope said we need more ThinkPads.
It really looks like a serious recording studio out there you've got going.
There's nothing serious going on in this house.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a proper full-blown recording studio.
Where'd you get the mics?
I've got a blue Yeti microphone, USB microphone. It's quite nice. I've had it for about a year now. But Becky has always sort of like used a headset, just an analog type headset with a mic on it that she passed through. We were playing around the other day, and we just thought, you know, for the Hacker Public Radio New Year's Eve show, it's a bit of a special event. And, you know, we enjoyed it last year so much that we thought we'd go out and buy Becky a microphone as well. So a desktop microphone so that she can put earphones in that she's comfortable with, and just sort of like, we can just sit here and drink a few coffees, have a few beers later, and, you know, join in with the chat. So
there's also another reason. I've started to help out DistroWatch Weekly record a segment for their podcast, and I've also said to Deep Geek, is it Scotty, that I will help him on his Talk Geek to Me news for the HPR episode. So I just wanted that, just something a little bit more professional.
Cool. It's fantastic.
It looks,
I just
like...
posted the picture there into the IRC and the
That's my dining room.
It looks
excuse
like
excuse the mess.
It looks like Door is that Door ZT is broadcasting to the newradio.net. It is working.
So the newradio.net is also up and working. Cool.
Correct, but it's not a mirror. I tried talking to those guys yesterday to where they could just mirror one of ours, you know, set up as a mirror, and I didn't have any idea how to do that, or they didn't think they had access to that server to configure it in that way. So Dor just must have took it upon himself to get that up and going.
Yeah, that was originally going to be one of our primaries, and I hadn't had a chance to get with anybody these past couple of weeks.
Does my audio sound good on this one?
Sounds fine to me. Fantastic and sleepy.
Yeah, I just got up right before I connected here. I'm going to grab me some breakfast and make a pot of coffee.
I'm just tuning in to the...
Pokey, I thought you weren't going to be here.
So did I. I'm going to try to pop in and out if I can, though.
Cool.
Yeah, I just checked. The newradio.net is up. Hi, Pokey.
I just said that.
Sorry, not Latu. How are you?
Pretty good, Ken.
You're late.
Nope.
Hey,
Black Crow.
Hello. How is everybody?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Hello, Mr. Black Crow.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. I thought, as soon as there's a microphone and lots of people to talk to, I'd sort of shoehorn myself in.
Well, yeah, mate, go for it.
So where have we got to? You've got to do this for 24 hours, is that right?
Yarp.
We haven't started yet.
Oh, blimey.
No, we have.
Yeah, no, have we have. Yeah.
Well, it's I think we have 7 minutes to go still.
No. That's... It's your fault, Pokey.
My fault? That's... What do you mean my fault? I'm the one that...
You messed up the time zones on me.
Klaatu, it just turns out that we don't all know when New Year occurs in all countries around the world is all. So the show has been running for a while now. And hi, by the way.
Wow. Hello.
I did the math when it was actually announced, and 6 a.m. is when that should start, according to the times that were posted, because I didn't know when it was UTC here.
You'd think there'd be some way to figure that out, like with computers or something.
There is. I figured it out. It's 6 a.m. here.
I'm on timeanddate.com. They've got a nice New Year countdown, and it shows a list of every country as it enters the New Year. So we missed Christmas Island. So
we were here.
Yeah. Sorry, I missed Christmas Island, but I don't think that place is real anyway. I think it's fictional. I think it's made up.
You would say
yeah, isn't
that
in like that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Happy New Year, by the way, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Hey, John. Happy New Year.
Hey, John. Nice guy. Right on. How you doing, dude?
I'm doing really well. I'm using a set that I don't normally use for Mumble, so can someone just confirm my audio's at least vaguely usable?
You sound brilliant, John.
Sounds great. Sounds even nice,
The
maybe.
Wonders of the Samsung Galaxy Note 2.
Other Samsung Galaxies are available.
Indeed. No tech envy from anyone in the audience? No.
A little bit. I love it. I saw one the other day, and I was very, very tempted. I was sat there going, but you know, I've got the addiction to Arcos tablets, so I'm sat here going, Arcos Galaxy, or which do I go for?
I had an argument with my brother on Christmas Eve about, because he's got a Galaxy Note 2, and I've got a Galaxy S3, and we were comparing screen sizes, and it all got a bit heated. So
not mine's bigger than yours again.
Yeah.
It was screen envy dressed up as penis envy.
So that's when I nearly brought out my Nexus 7 and blew them out of the water, but I didn't quite have it yet.
My sister-in-law made the fateful comment yesterday. So is a tablet an iPad? No. You got it round the wrong way entirely. An iPad is a tablet, not the other way around.
An iPad is a backlit tea tray.
Are we starting with the Apple bashing already?
No. Yeah. I was very, you know, I toned down my rampant freedom evangelism for fear of being hit by my wife and stoned by my brother and his fanboy children.
I thought we were just continuing it from last time still. I want to say real quick, Ken, if you feel like doing another musical break at any point, that you can pop that IKEA song into the rotation because it is CC. And Black Crow, you're transmitting all your key taps.
What was that track you said?
IKEA by Jonathan Coulton.
Can you do me a favor? I don't know whether Ken is around and or listening and or doing anything usable, but Ken, if you're not already, can you let me know what the tracks are that are being played in this stream, and I'll add them all to CC Hits?
He's been getting them from CC Hits.
Yes, I will do.
Look, the important thing for me, as far as CC Hits, is not so much getting new tracks into the system, although that's great, and I love getting new tracks into the system.
Oh, read the bias. The
important thing for me is knowing that they're played, because what I want to do is make it so that when somebody hears a track on a daily show or a weekly show or on another website and they hit the vote link, they see where else that track was played, because then they can go and find out about the other podcasts, because that's really key to me. You know, it's all well and good finding a niche that you like, but if you completely, like, say, for example, if you're listening to the Bugcast and you always listen to the Bugcast and you never listen to anything else, and you vote for a track on the Bugcast that says that this was also played on Rat Hole Radio or was played on Insomnia Radio Canada or, you know, one of these other shows that submits tracks to CC Hits, then you find out about more great music, because, you know, ultimately that's what I want to do, is get more people listening to great music. And the more of it's the Creative Commons, the better. And I'll get off my soapbox.
Cool. Can agree with you more. Not a problem. And by the way, I haven't managed to get the secure copy that falls down, but we can talk about that later.
Oh, man. Okay. I'm sorry about that, Ken.
No, it's probably something I'm doing.
Where is it you're trying to get to the file? Get the files from?
The SCP, the daily ones.
No, but I mean, as in, is it from your local machine? Is it from a server? Is it something that you can give me access to and I'll dink around with it sort of when I'm not dripping the house all, it's Christmas decorations.
Yeah, I'll do that, but right now I'm 500 things to do right now, but we can do it afterwards.
Yeah, and no,
also the VPS that was running on has died.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
So when it comes back up, we'll reinitiate that project.
Okie dokie. Well, I mean, so is that gonna be a general HPR sort of standard thing that whenever the Icecast isn't running, you're going to be running CC Hit stuff off it?
Yep. So what we have is the, you know, the linuxlink.net.
Right.
It's a website that Dan Washko from the Linux Link Tech Show, who also plays music at the end, so you might want to get in touch with him about joining up CC Hit.
And he maintains that is not music, that what he does at the end.
How can you not appreciate the pinnacle of musical essence that that Jesus Penis is?
Anyways, can you repeat that, please?
Yeah, I just wanted to verify exactly what it was you just said there, because I thought I heard you say Jesus Penis.
Yes,
wanted to check that was
one of the most inspirational and thought provoking bands of our era, being played regularly on the Linux Link Tech Show.
It inspires you to pull your headphones off and hit them with a hammer. Do you know how many sets I've been through in the last 4 weeks?
You say crap, I say thought-provoking music.
You say crap, I say honk, honk.
Is it on a par? Is it on a par like John O'Bacon and Severed Fifth?
No.
No, it goes way beyond that. It takes it to a new level. to quote Terry Pratchett, it's so bad, it's gone through bad and come out the other side.
It's not a new level, it's another dimension.
Badception.
Anyway, John, the plan is we have this VPS whenever it's up, and the plan is that we would like to keep somebody in the HPR room so that you can do live shows. Say the community news show can be also streamed through there. It can support 700 simultaneous clients, so that should be absolutely fine for a community news session, which we also need to do, by the way, CT, thanks very much. And when that's not playing, then it's going to fall back to a linuxlink.net feed. And if you go to thelinuxlink.net, then you will see a list of technical podcasts and stuff. And myself and Dave Morris wrote a Perl script sometime back. We asked for recommendations for good technical podcasts and music podcasts, doing, you know, Creative Commons stuff. So CC Hits is in there, the Bugcast is in there, the Rat Hole Radio is in there. You know, a lot of the regular tech podcasts, linuxlink.net, and all those guys are in there. So the plan is, or what I've set up over there is, MashPodder downloads new episodes, so we keep a month of episodes there, and it'll simply just cycle through those, playing a bumper every now and again, so give people something to listen to. And
that's pretty cool. You're talking about year round, right?
Yep.
Love this idea.
So when Icecast actually has a way that you can do an intro and an outro. So as it's playing there, then when the stream comes back up, it'll go, we interrupt this program to bring you a live show from the Hacker Public Radio Room on Mumble, blah, 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 blah. And then at the end, now we return you to our collection of Creative Commons hits, blah, 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 blah. But if the server's down, there's not a lot we can do about that, but there you go.
Yeah, but, fair enough. I understand that.
And aside from that, we'll also be streaming the cchits.net, just all the daily shows, one after the other, because, hey, they're cool.
Hey, Popey, why don't you say good morning and confuse Ken Fallon, because he cannot keep the two of us straight, and I find that worlds of amusing.
Sorry, I'm fixing the AUG stream. I can't participate until one or other of you goes. It isn't funny, but I cannot tell you apart. I can't read that. Pokey and Popey.
They sound quite different, though, don't they?
Yeah, his sounds cool, and mine sounds stupid.
There is no such thing as stupid. There's just different shades of intelligence. Nothing.
Sorry, I was going to say his nickname sounds like he got to pick it for himself. Mine got picked for me.
If he picked his own, it would be. If somebody picked his nickname, it would be Elvis 2.
I think he cheated. He just stuck a Y on the end of his surname.
I think he changed it. Well, that was cool.
Can you hear me?
Hello, Alan.
Hello.
We can hear you, but your mic is right next to your speakers.
Ah, yeah.
But that's okay. It just means the rest of us can't talk while you're talking. You get priority.
I'm just in the kitchen making the kids lunch at the moment. I'll move to somewhere where I have headphones, surely.
Maybe Pope isn't his actual last name, but his profession.
It definitely is his last name.
But I think he changed it by deed, Paul.
And it's definitely not his profession.
There's nothing reverend about him.
I don't know. He just blessed us in the channel there.
He's a lovely bloke in real life.
Which, Popey or Pokey?
Popey, I don't know matter. Pokey.
If you have to ask.
So, but Pokey, how did you get given your handle then?
I'm just a bit slow.
Oh, right. Okay. A pokey as in brum brum poke.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, I had an old girlfriend who called me that for other reasons, but...
There it goes.
But honestly, nice. No one who's ever called me pokey has ever met anybody else who did, so it's a nickname that keeps coming around, even if I try not to drag it with me. It just comes along for the ride. And I like to consider myself not slow, but efficient.
Cautiously careful.
I really wish I wasn't sort of wandering around the lounge with the phone in my pocket, so I could actually get it out when I'm... The phone, that is. So I could actually get it out and laugh when stuff amuses me. Because you want me to get it out? Live on air? Oh, okay, sorry.
Hello.
John the Dirty Guy. Hey, Deep Geek.
Hey, how's it going? Deep Geek. Hey, Klaatu, what's shaking?
Somebody keeping track of who's joining, by the way?
No.
Were we supposed to?
Well, it would be nice.
Ken, set up a...
Go ahead, Firehead.
Ken, set up a script that takes a screenshot every time the list of names changes.
I'm still having to get the AUG script going. Can you give me a break here?
Doesn't Mumble server have like a log that you can pass and get grab the usernames out of?
Yeah, it does, actually.
Cool.
Pokey, that's one for you.
What? No, I don't have access to the log files.
I'm sure Dor can hook you up with it.
Who was that?
Door to Door Geek, it's his server. Boy,
yeah, well, who said that?
Jonathan Nato.
Hi, Jonathan, how are you doing?
Good, Ken, how you doing?
Not too bad, still blind?
Oh, yeah.
You can't! Hello, Jonathan.
I'm going straight to hell for that one.
Well, I have no idea, but I can't make out Pokey at all.
No? I'm sorry.
Well, it's not your fault. That's my first time trying to use Mumble, so...
Hold on, my daughter would like to say hello. My... what age are you?
Hello.
Aww. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
We've been shopping.
And what did you get?
Get something nice to eat. Get fireworks? Yes.
We got fireworks, cool.
Yay.
Okay, so everybody say hello, Sinead, in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, Sinead!
Yeah, we're going to have to do that with all the other two as well.
Okay, that really didn't work because there was just too much fragmentation to hear anyone. But
how it sounded perfect here.
Thanks, guys. It worked well here.
Hello, Sinead.
We have a hive mind.
She's gone.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, Sinead.
Did she run away screaming?
No, she's chuffed. The other one said, hey, do you want to come on the radio later on? No.
That was more the Bork than the Borg, I think.
Perhaps.
Okay, sorry for ruining that for everybody. We can go back to being explicit 18. Except we can't, because Podrick needs to say hello. Say hello, Podrick. Well, I'm trying to get.
Hello.
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 Is that Podrick or Patrick?
What's your name?
Podrick.
And where are you?
Hello, Podrick.
I'm from...
How old are you?
I'm 7.
Cool. And what did you get in town? You can see it in touch.
7 is an excellent age.
7 is an
excellent age. You can't drive cars.
What did you get? Have you taken?
It's a terrible age.
Yeah, but nobody blames you or gets mad if you eat the paste.
Fireworks.
Fireworks, that's what you got. Cool. Okay, thanks, folks.
Are you going to put your wife on next, Ken?
Yeah, I'll do them all and get it over with.
Hey, Bubba X.
Here's Roisin, who is? Roisin, how old are you?
5.
What's your name?
Roisin.
Say hello, everybody, to Roisin.
Hello, Roisin.
Hello, Roisin.
Hello,
Roisin.
Hello.
And Mel?
Hi, everyone.
Hello, Mrs. Ken Fallon.
How old are you, Mrs. Ken Fallon?
You can't ask that.
You're not allowed to ask that. 21.
Oh.
Okay, that's that from here. Thank you very much.
Ken leaves in a panic.
It seemed inconsistent.
Yeah, that's Rent a Family. I hired them out once a year, you know.
Wow, they did a great job then. I had no suspicions.
And why are you buying a 7-year-old fireworks, by the way?
Well, why not? It's Holland. I didn't buy them.
When our daughter, when our daughter realised what we were going to be doing, she's arranged to stay out at a New Year's Eve party. She's not even going to bother coming home today.
Well, that sounds fair.
Woohoo!
That's what I did.
Is that where her friends ask her, what are your parents doing? And you say, and she says to them, they're having a party with a load of other people I don't know. Is that why she's staying out?
Usually dies of shame.
I can't believe that for one second. She seems like the sort of person that would revel, absolutely revel, in the fact that her parents are talking to people from all over the world. That would be cool. That was the sort of thing I was well impressed with when my dad was a radio. Oh, hang on. Okay.
I do think that she's secretly pleased. But to be around it, you know, she would just be like, oh, God, you know, whatever.
Yeah, plus She's of that age where she grew up with the internet and stuff. So talking to people from around the world, it's nothing new, really. So whereas I grew up with a phone which I was very rarely allowed to use, and you know, had a dial on it and stuff like that. So speaking to somebody from, you know, America or wherever on a computer, it's still quite not exciting, but you know, it's not what I grew up with. So
yeah, there's going to come a point where we have sort of 3D holographic images transmitted over Mumble, and she's going to get really excited about that, and then you want to creep up on her and remind her.
So long as they've got their clothes on, I don't care.
I've got a sneaking suspicion that Black Crow sat there in his dressing gown.
What, naked is no good?
I have my Animal from the Muppets pajamas on.
Nice one.
Yeah,
that
very
could
powerful.
Have gone in so many different ways there. You know, that could have just been, I have my tracker on. I have the ankle bracelet that the police gave me on. You could have said, I have nothing. But you went with animal pajamas? Seriously?
I didn't exclude the other things on the list.
Black Clara, are you surrounded
That's
by your doggies as well?
I have one extremely fluffy cat sat with me. The doggies are taking the opportunity of lack of misses to go sleep. They're all curled up on a bunch on the sofa.
I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm wearing my slippers and boxer shorts.
It must be the worst because I'm like all dressed for work. I got to go in 10 minutes.
I've got my Family Guy slippers on that I got for Christmas.
Family Guy rocks.
I love that show. I'm a massive fan.
Well, just while you started talking about this, I went and got dressed, so now I'm fully dressed.
And by the way, Bubba Bex, there is you cannot compete on messiness. You should see this. It's like a bomb site in here. It's fantastic.
Typical
organized chaos.
I just have chaos.
Philip always says that if there's a flat surface in the house, I will put something on it.
Whereas in our house, if there's a flat surface available, Marley's will put an animal on it, generally speaking. You know, she got a job working up at a wildlife rescue centre back in the summer. Within 3 weeks, we had a cat and a snake.
A snake?
Yeah, she brought a corn snake home.
Within 4 weeks, you had a snake.
Yeah, yeah. She's ridiculous on it. We are in our one-bedroom flat. We already have 3 cats, 3 chihuahuas, 5 chickens, a guinea pig.
Seriously, you got 5 chickens in a one-bedroom flat?
Not actually in the one-bedroom flat, but in the back garden.
Cool.
What else we got as far as guinea pig? A tank full of... how can we turn off that?
Go to configure if you're in Mumble, Alistair.
Yeah, got it, yeah. And turn off text to speech. Yeah. Got it. Oh, thank you for that. So we have a tank full of fish, and then she added another cat and a snake. And I said, if we get to Christmas without gaining an owl or something, we'd be doing well. It's ridiculous.
You have like an entire food chain going on in your house.
Yeah, it's getting that way. It's getting that way. And I'm not sure that I'm at the top of it either.
I was just about to say, you are at the top of it.
Only by default and weight, I think.
Hello, 5150.
Morning, everybody.
Is that a Van Halen fan we've got there?
5150, how are you doing?
No, I think it's a fan of Picardi, actually.
I thought it was involuntary psychiatric hold. That's the code for that.
Oh, right. Is that an American thing?
Oh, yes, I'm an American. You guys might not understand. That's a local thing.
Criminal code is where that comes from. But, yeah, it does have something to do with the California statute on criminal insanity. But that's just complete therapy. Actually, I...
5150, your sound is crap. Can you move to the lounge and we get it sorted, please?
Oh.
Back in a second.
And now okay. We have to wait for an explanation.
That was quite a good album, though, by Van Halen.
It was.
I do like that album. So we have to ask the question of everybody, seeing as the subject has come up. Dave Lee Roth or the other guy?
Sammy Hagar?
Yeah, that's the one. Sammy Hagar or Dave Lee Roth? I should have asked a technical question because I'm getting no responses here.
Which one did jump?
That was Dave Lee Roth.
Well, him then.
Oh, dear.
I'm going to go with Eddie.
That's only because it's the only Van Halen song I know.
Oh, dear. Oh, silence isn't good on the podcast, is it? Am I just going to have to sit here and just talk?
We'll fix it in post. It's cool.
Becky's making tea.
Oh, can I have one?
He'll send it out via carrier pigeon.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Can I have it hot this time? That's what was awful.
Not a chance.
Or at least arrange it so that the bird doesn't crap in the tea this time. That was ill for days.
I feel like we're hemorrhaging people. This is kind of surprising.
We should have made sure that there wasn't real life to go back to here at this 24 hours.
That's true. I just listened to the to Klaatu's walkie cast a little while ago. I like that a lot. That was a good episode.
Hey, I just want to say goodbye. I got to head to work.
See you, Deep Geek.
Bye, Deep Geek.
I'll try to check in after work. See you, guys. See you, yeah. Bobo X.
Cheerio. Have a good day.
I do have some news.
Elaborate.
I've finally got a job in open source. Proper.
Oh, congrats. Congratulations.
What's the job?
Do you know Joyent, the cloud infrastructure people?
Yeah, they do a lot with like Illumos and stuff like that, or is that someone else?
They do a little bit. Their big things, or their biggest product line, is SmartOS, which is the community fork of the old Sun OS.
Solaris.
That's it, yeah. And when Oracle bought them out a couple of years ago, they weren't too keen on working for that kind of company. So they forked the distro and basically buggered off. And they've rebranded it SmartOS, and most of the development team now work for Joyent. And they use SmartOS as their virtual controller for their cloud space. And I'm joining them on support in January. And I'm going to be working from home.
Congratulations.
I'm very impressed today, actually. They've got a whole catalogue of open source projects, which they are either the corporate sponsor for or they contribute to heavily. And they're very proud of being open source, yet keeping a successful business model over. They're ambitious. They list their biggest competition as being Amazon AWS. And the way they put the product together is absolutely astonishing. So I'm looking forward to joining them soon.
You know what the best part is?
Mm-hmm.
All the ZFS work you get to do.
Yeah, they're very big on ZFS. They were talking to me about how far they've got their performance to increase. They even reckon that they can run virtual machines as SmartOS clients, and they actually get performance which is better than OS on bare metal in a virtual machine, just because they haven't got that heavy input-output layer to negotiate. So I was thinking that goes against everything I know about computing, but yeah, when you look at the stats of just how fast SmartOS can actually read write to the disk, it's actually faster than bare metal OS. It's incredible.
It seems really unintuitive until you realize that there's stuff that like RAID that will go around sort of technical limitations like that, that you'd be able to actually exceed those speeds in that sort of fashion.
Yeah, and you just realize the scale when they start talking about you know, just how by pure chance and pure large-scale numbers corruptions can appear in more conventional disk operating systems. And when
one
you actually...
bit every 12 terabytes.
That's the one. And when you actually get to the scale where that becomes significant, you just go, whoa, they are shifting massive amounts of data.
And you don't have to file system check CFS ever, because the only way it can ever be damaged is disk failure, and it will, you just like rebuild the array, sort of. It's not really an array, but whatever you would call it in ZFS terms.
Yeah, I've got to learn a lot about that. That was one thing that looks exciting. I think as I actually get to learn more about the product, I've got to go through about a month of training. And I was thinking that that puts me in a position to do more HPR casts as a sort of like recap for myself. But yeah, I mean, they're absolutely slap bang in HPR's sort of interest, the things we'd like to know more about. They've got a product called Dtrace, which is a stack performance and stack issue tracer. And instead of just looking at one specific part of any tool chain, it actually goes through the whole of the tool chain from disk to final output to see where any bottlenecks are, where any problems are. So I'm thinking that people will find that interesting as well, because it's not a tool that's got great visibility at the minute.
It's sort of like VMware vProbe, if people know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about it, but I guess it's very similar to that. You also have... as I say, the Smart OS and a bunch of other things they use. The ZFS they're very big into. But they also use as an alternative to, if you don't have to use Smart OS, if you want to use Ubuntu, for example, they're very big into having Ubuntu as VMs to interface with the cloud service if you want. And they've got some interesting products as well. Quick installation thing that they've got going up.
KVM?
No. The one. Bloody hell.
Wow.
Oh, what was that?
That was the Daleks hacking in, I think.
Oh man, it's already happened. We're only like 27 minutes in. We're already under siege.
I think that was John trying to come in.
Sorry, guys, that was me. I stuck the. I'd put the speak on and then. Forgot I didn't have headphones in. Goodness. Apologies.
Blackrow, you were saying?
I was saying about the, what's that tool that Ubuntu, Popey?
Oh, Juju.
That's the one. That's
Charms. Something to do with Charms.
Yeah. But I'm sort of looking forward to seeing how that competes with what SmartOS can offer. Because they've got that whole zone thing with SmartOS, all the old Solaris. Where it doesn't just, you don't have a bunch of separate different tools for assigning various resources and permissions and things. Everything is done by zone. So you set up a zone and it assigns hardware resources, software resources, permissions. In Western Supermare.
Western Supermare. Right,
that blows that idea out then.
What was that?
There's. There's a guy who goes to the Manchester Hackerspace who is very interested in the open Solaris side of things. Actually, the Oracle provided kit. So if you're ever in the area, get yourself across to Manchester Hackerspace.
Well, sorry, I was going to ask, like, what qualifications do you feel that you had that made them, you know, that got you that job? Like, what kind of stuff did you have to know, or why did you feel like you could apply for it and get it?
Well, I was suggested through an agency to them, and it was purely that I was working in Unix at Airbus, had a private interest in Linux and felt like I could just hack away at things. And it was also that I was quite chatty and because they have found that most of the people that they've employed on the very heavy technical side aren't natural communicators, shall we say.
And socially awkward.
A little bit, yeah.
There's a way that my team describes it, which is there's there's a particular kind of person that gets interested in the industry we're in.
Yeah.
And they're all a bunch of freaks, frankly. And where you fall on the freak scale?
Super freak. There.
Yeah. But the way it was put to me was that they wanted somebody with a combination of willingness to hack away and try something different or new, and just generally get involved and be, you know, chatty and happy and represent the company well, personally as well as technically.
And you're the best man for the job, Black Crow. You're very chatty. We can appease to that.
Yeah, it was when I saw it. 24 hours of an open mic to talk to. Way!
Excellent.
You got me through my 24-hour hangover a couple of years ago.
That was a bad hangover to get through. That was a monster.
The really compelling thing about SmartOS, the way it's been explained to me, is that the zones sort of work like a workspace under like Ubuntu, except you allocate resources that way. So whatever zone is like a different instance.
Yeah, it really does bring everything together under one tool, so that you don't have to. There's less chance of you forgetting something. Is the nicest way I've heard it put. Is the standard profiles that you generate every day don't mean you're going into 6-7 tools to allocate everything you need. You create the zone, and then you apply that like a template, just very easily and very quickly is the thing.
With the exception of like turnkey Linux, I don't really see anything else that could compete with this, especially in the space of multi-tenancy, because Solaris has always been sort of that thing, even though Oracle said that multi-tenancy was a stupid thing, and then they completely reversed their position on that like a year ago.
Mm.
What is that?
And do you have some links for some of this posted into the chat?
I will find something. The Oracle said that they thought multi-tenancy was irresponsible, which is, you know, like shared resources of databases on things that are important, and they completely reversed that position like at the last OracleCon.
Let's post a link to Joyent anyway, because they're very not only open technically, but they're very open generally in what they do. If I just paste that there we go.
Could it be argued the reason why Oracle don't want people to do multi-tenancy or any kind of shared resourcing is because they sell licenses based on number of cores?
That would be a good reason, but I don't think that's the case, because I think they would have just changed the licensing scheme to make it, you know, more expensive, all you can eat or something. That's usually what Oracle does in my experience.
Right.
I think it's so they could probably sell more sets of expensive hardware, because that's what really Oracle likes to do these days.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I haven't even joined the company yet, but Joyent's position is different to that. The way they charge is on a time basis. But whereas most companies will charge at the peak rate, the highest rate that you've used, or a bandwidth rate, they take a view that you can see a background level of usage, and that peaks are generally extraordinary. So your configuration is set to normally operate at that background rate, and if there is a burst, the system brings in resources to cope with those bursts, but you're only charged at the background rate. The bursts are just dealt with for you.
It's like software as a service to the extreme.
Very much so, very much so. The advantage being is you just get a predictable rate of charge. You get a predictable expenditure on your web services based upon your average, not your burst rates.
That's obviously the way the businesses would want to run it, because if they can budget for that, it's a lot easier than having to pay, you know, as you go for specific services.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. The they're aiming very, very much at the moment for cloud services which are connecting to Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. In fact, LinkedIn's one of their biggest customers at the minute. And it seems to be making sense for a lot of people.
When do you start at this new job?
Second week in January, if everything goes to plan. As I say, I've got to go through a month of training, but they've been very good. They've said, if you're in Western and another guy we're bringing on stream is geographically close, then we'll hire some office space in Western and come and train you there. Fabulous.
It would be cool to work off-site on something like that, where you have no supervision, really, other than just, you know, the other people you work with directly.
Yeah. I'll only be the third employee in the UK that Joyent have. So far, they've been a completely San Francisco-based operation, which also brings in the very nice thought that to go and see the boss, I'll have to go on business class over to San Francisco a couple times a year.
There's a lot of cool stuff in San Francisco.
Oh yeah, I'm so looking forward to it. I've already sort of brought up the thought I can go and see a 49ers game. I can probably go and see some bands. I could probably even hook up with Jono when he's over there and stuff like that. It should be very, very good.
When are you going over there?
I don't know precisely yet. It's mooted that it would be March, April time if everything goes to plan, but best laid plans are mice and men and all that.
Right.
I've promised Cornominal a trip to San Francisco for his 40th.
All I got was a pair of socks.
No, actually, Becky keeps asking me what I want to do for my 40th, so I've sort of like got no idea really, but I kind of thought it might be nice to go and see if we can get in the audience for a recording of Twit.
Well, that might be cool. Nice.
Yeah, I thought so.
If I could just interrupt everybody for a few minutes, I want to stop my recording for a moment. 1 second, please. And we're starting the second half of Hacker Public Radio's New Year's 2013 extravaganza.
Oh, second half's going to be a long one then.
Whew, there we go. Well, this is today's show, so I don't know what we're going to do after that. Just some things. If people are wanting to talk, there's information on the main Hacker Public Radio webpage and how to join the chat. The OG stream is now up. We'll be adding some additional MERS to that right now. If you do want to just listen along and you're in the mumble room, we'd appreciate it if you could move out of the mumble room and out of mumble, in fact, entirely, and nip on to one of the many, many streams that we have. If you're just listening along, there's only a few seconds delay on most of them. In addition,
and the reason for that is it helps us to spread our bandwidth out and leave bandwidth and room in the mumble server for folks who are going to talk.
Absolutely, but there's plenty of space on here, so you know, don't feel free. You need to go until we get kind of busy. Also, thanks, Pokey. You just whacked that out of my head. My head out so was.
I'm sorry about that. You were saying that you know, pop off the mumble server and onto the stream if you're listening in.
Yeah, and if you're joining the Mumble chat, can you go into the lounge and people will assist you with getting your network connection sorted up first. We're also available on Freenode, irc.freenode.net in the #ogcastplanet room if you want to join into the chat over there. All this information is on the main Hacker Public Radio page. And if you're on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, if you could publicize the fact that this is going on, we'd all appreciate it. And that's that. I'll go and encode the show and post today's Hacker Public Radio show.
I've been joining in George Dosher's Tech and Coffee recently, the last few days. What if I could drag some people in from there?
What is that?
You know, on Google Plus, George Dosher, who came to over from the States and to OddCamp, he started up Tech and Coffee in Hangouts, and basically he runs a hangout which people populate most, you know, virtually 24/7. A few nights a week, they actually do a recording which they publish on YouTube of the G Plus hangout. That's got some nice techie people in there.
They have a beautiful website. Wow. Go check that out.
Yeah.
Someone post the link, please.
I got it.
Yeah. Thank you. I've just been joined by Kat. God. Go on. Thank you. They just got people to sit for most of the day and talk technical to each other while drinking coffee. And that's worked out really nicely for them. They've got a really nice setup over there.
Yeah, I've gone into the hangout before. They're a good bunch of guys in there.
Mm.
Can I just point out that we missed Happy New Year to everybody on Norfolk Island.
Happy New Year, everybody on Norfolk Island.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, and have we got about 18 minutes away from the next one, which is, I believe, Peter 64's time zone.
Yeah, that's much of Australia.
Taking coffee.
And Peter is listening on the IRC channel, and although I also thought he was supposed to be at work today, so I don't understand this. But then again, it's probably 1 o'clock in the morning, so.
Night mowing.
I guess we did need that map to keep it everything straight.
Oh, it's not the maps 5150, it's the clocks we're having so much trouble reading.
Well, when Mickey's big hand gets to the top of the face.
Has any of you ever tried explaining a clock to some kids? Because it becomes so natural to you, but there's actually three different things going on. So this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think there's some comedian has done a very excellent job at describing the time as a 5. No, it's not 5. It's 10 past.
I did, but then they were like, "Why wouldn't you just use a digital display? Are you from the 1800s?" And then they make fun of me. And then I just stop because I don't think it's worth it.
Yeah, my PS3 tells me the time.
Because an analog clock is recognized faster by the brain.
What about binary clocks versus analog?
Those take even longer.
No.
Really? You're that used to it now?
Yeah. I have it running on all my computers, so I forced myself to become used to it.
Cool. I remember you did a show on that. Was that a HPR or was that a GNU World Order?
It was a segment on GNU World Order.
I remember hearing that.
Jeez, my entire life is in my podcasts. How do you people know this?
We have
RSS. Fans.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really the RSS that did it.
I was going to say I did have to teach a grown-up once to read an analog clock. That was an experience.
Wow, that's weird.
Did they just like come out of a fallout shelter or something?
Yeah.
I don't know how she got that way, but we're divorced now, so all is well.
Oh. I know who you're talking about.
I know, Polky. You want this whole thing to be a therapy session for you.
It wasn't. It just, you guys brought it up, and it's the God's honest truth.
It's been 7 a.m., and we're already getting Polky's X stories.
Well, we've been having how them many all morning.
All right, no more. I won't even mention it again.
How many are there, X's?
Just one.
That's one.
I thought he was going to be like 7, and it was going to be like Scott Pilgrim or something.
No, just one, but she's a big one.
To answer the question about telling the time, I've been teaching my son to read the time from an analog clock. And when he wants something, I just say, I'll do it for you, I'll let you watch that film at a certain time, so that he has to work out the time.
Nice. Blackmail.
You got it.
In a previous job, quite a few years ago now, I had to hire a van driver. So it was paying minimum wage, maybe less than minimum wage, if we were honest. And so the only place we could really go was the job centre for applicants. And you know you're going to get a certain kind of person when you advertise at the job centre.
Careful.
Yeah. You know, especially when you're paying extremely low wages. So,
Alistair, I should remind you that Becky manages the local job centre here.
She knows what I'm talking about. And this one guy came, and I mean, he was a strange cove by any standards. But the first question you ask when you're hiring for a van driver's job is, great, can I see your driving license, please? And when I asked that question, he gave me a slightly funny look, and he says, so I said, you do have a driving license, don't you? And he said, and this is no exaggeration, this is verbatim what he said. He said, no, but I can make one.
Guy.
Now, 10 out of 10 for being a self-starter there, but...
entrepreneurial spirit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And for being honest, all right? He was honest, at least.
Oh, yeah, he was absolutely.
Obviously another guy who listens to Klaatu's shows.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, he wasn't going to get Klaatu to make him that license, was he?
I don't do it for hire.
Oh, I did not know what to say to the guy at that point.
Didn't have blue hair, did he?
Not at that point. But...
So how long has he been in the job?
He's probably still doing it, I would imagine. I had another van driver who'd recently left the infantry. He'd joined when he was very, very young. He'd done 3 years service in the infantry, and he became extremely that job. To the effect that he wouldn't do anything unless you told him to. And about a month into the job, he came into the office one day, and we sort of, is something beginning to smell? Oh, that's when Simon comes into the office, isn't it? Blimey. And me and my boss sort of divvied up who was going to actually have a talk to him about it. And, you expect when you go and... going to talk to somebody about how they smell, but that's going to be a difficult conversation because of how the other person is going to react. But not with Simon. It was very, very strange. Ian just said to him, Simon, you need to go and have a bath. And there wasn't a flicker of reaction from the guy. He just went, yeah, okay, man. And just went off and had a shower. And it was incredible. It didn't even register with him that it was a problem that somebody had to tell him to go and have a shower. Unbelievable. People's minds form in very strange ways.
And this is the job you're leaving, correct?
Oh, no, I left that job.
Okay.
Many years ago.
The motives for looking elsewhere were becoming a lot clearer to me.
Yeah, that was... basically, as soon as I left school and moved south, I just needed a job going anywhere. And the first job that came up was with an electrical wholesaler selling bits of cable to electricians and stuff. And I learned how to run a ledger, and I learned how to sell stuff. And that was about as much as that job could ever teach you. So I left it fairly quickly after that.
Does anyone have access to Door ZT? Door-to-door geeks setup.
Not that I mention it, I might. Let me see if I do.
Roger, carry on talking.
That is an interesting subject, actually. Jobs that you've had in the past. Look on and go.
Oh, like no one's ever heard me talk about my last job.
Yeah? I haven't, I don't think.
Oh, go on. I worked for a large publisher who actually has an educational subdivision that actually does all the Linux cert testing, and but their websites aren't compatible with Linux. You can't actually use them with Linux at all.
Oh,
donk!
Yeah, this is also the company that, while patching their servers, I was actually up wide awake for well over 24 hours because several of them wouldn't come back up, and they would just go ahead and, you know, patch once every quarter. All the production servers, just take them all down, patch everything. And that was the way they operated. In other words, the job from hell, and I'm glad I'm out of there.
Imagine. I must admit, for next year's Odd Camp, I'm very carefully considering doing a talk on the last job I had at Airbus, which came about through one of the most enormous computer cock-ups you've ever seen in your entire life. And when I say enormous, I say whether it cost Airbus, there's a debate about whether it's hundreds of millions it cost them or whether it cost them billions.
Are you talking about plane crashing bugs here?
No, I'm talking about bugs that stop planes ever getting into the sky in the first place.
Oh, well, those ones are okay. I don't mind those. As long as you know, as long as the bug happens before it takes off, that's fine.
Agreed.
Yeah. No, this
to clarify, Philip hates flying.
No, this, to be fair, having worked at Airbus, I would now say I'm more happy about going on an airplane than I've ever been in my life. The degree and standard of engineering is just out of this world. It really is. But they did make one cock-up, which was a tiny, tiny little thing, and it cost the firm certainly hundreds of millions of pounds. Unbelievable.
Did they mix up the forward and reverse?
No, the mix-up was probably almost as basic as that. It was just a difference between version 4 and version 5 of a piece of software.
Was it like in scheduling and stuff, you mean, or something on the airplane itself?
Well, what it was, do you know the Airbus A380?
Yeah.
The new huge, great super jumbo. Well, as they were moving from design to manufacture, and actually starting to construct the first testbed aircraft, the designers and engineers down in the Hamburg plant were all using a thing called CATIA V4. And anyone who's into industrial design knows that CATIA is the monster CAD and design tool. It's made by a company called Dassault Systèmes, and it is the big daddy in terms of designing cars, airplanes, anything industrial. And the Hamburg guys were using V4, and everybody else in the company in France, in the UK, in Spain, and so forth, they were all using V5. And there was one little setting in it, which meant that if you designed the wiring harnesses for copper, in V5, if you changed the wiring harnesses to have from copper to aluminium, it automatically updated what they call the bend radius, which is how much space you need to bend a piece of cable. And it's different. Copper will bend more easily than aluminium will. So if you change that in V5, it automatically updates. And the guys were all trained in V5, but they went back to using V4, and they decided halfway through designing all the wiring harnesses that, we'll put aluminium wiring harnesses in because they're cheaper, they're lighter. There's a whole bunch of benefits to having aluminium harnesses. So they changed all the harnesses to aluminium. And then months and months later, when they'd actually had all the wiring harnesses made up in the UK and shipped out to Germany for final assembly, when they got them there, they didn't fit. They couldn't get them through the spaces. And it was just like, hang on, wait, they don't fit. And they had to put back the release of A380 by as much as 2 years. They lost for the freight version of A380 completely. TNT and FedEx cancelled all their orders. A bunch of airlines cancelled all their orders. And when one unit costs, I think it's about £250 million, one of them, and they lost an order for maybe as many as several hundred of these aircraft. Yeah, you're talking about a cock-up that maybe cost billions of pounds. Unbelievable.
It's the Windows ME of the airline industry.
Oh, yeah, very much so. The entire industry has gone cock-a-hoop about versioning, as you can imagine now. And licensing for different versions has just become a real bugbear of the industry now.
Yeah, I've actually worked in the in that industry for a while, not directly, but through for the instrumentation panels. And yeah, you're right about the versioning on that stuff. It gets pretty insane with how much I keep track of. They've really, even on the instruments and that, it's like they have to maintain them for so long, they actually have to keep track of exactly which firmware is where.
Yeah, I mean, we...
Just interrupt you. It's 6 seconds till New Year in Australia.
Which explains where Crayon's gone. We're having a problem with the stream, so when he's back on, if someone could give him a shout, please.
Happy New Year, Happy Australia!
New Year. Happy New Year, Australia!
Happy New Year!
Hey, 64, Happy New Year!
Hey, Happy New Year! And if on, a, can I just say Happy New Year to Grant? He knows who I'm talking about. He's one of my friends in Australia. He's a good guy. Good guy.
Happy New Year, Grant.
So who's got the Auld Lang Syne queued up? Now, it's probably proprietary. We'd get in trouble.
Now, there's a free recording of it on archive.org.
I think it's Happy Birthday that has the licensing problems, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's the one that has the problems.
What a scam.
I feel that way about copyright in general.
Yeah, yeah, good point.
He's a
so Australia, shouldn't we say Happy Old Year?
Yeah.
No, because the old year is in the past, unless I'm getting confused again. But the future is what you would be wishing people happiness for.
Right, but remember, everything's backwards in Australia.
Oh, yes, the Coriolis effect.
It's upside down.
I missed it.
Shame on you, Klaatu.
I just figured somebody should try to throw in a lame upside down Australia joke.
No, totally, yeah.
You know that stuff isn't actually true. The Coriolis effect only like takes effect in like vast bodies of water, so like toilets flush the same way around the world.
Who's the gentleman that goes on the Dev Random that they always take the mick out because he's Australian?
More Crayon, specific, or, that's like half of us.
Yeah, really. It's either Crayon or Etiar that you're thinking of.
They always give him a good ribbing.
Yeah, we always rib him, but I'm probably talking about Peter 64.
When is the next Dev Random coming on?
As long as they don't talk about Merkins again.
I guess that'd be Saturday. Last Saturday was APO, and we all got on there and sort of wrapped. And the week before was Dev Random, and there were only three of us: me and Thistleweb and Pegwall. So we decided not to record. We just talked, and then the week before that was the KPO that wasn't.
Okay, cool.
So we're not intentional. Neither show is intentionally pod fading, but we just. We had a KPO a couple weeks ago kind of come off the rails on us, and then this last weekend we didn't really do it because it was right after the holiday.
Yeah, it tends to get a bit quiet around just this time of year, podcasting. I'm going to go make myself a sandwich. Anyone want anything?
We've just had tea and cake.
Pseudo, make me a sandwich.
Will do.
I got that book for Christmas. I got the XKCD book for Christmas. And... on Christmas Day, I was with all the mother-in-law's family, and they're mostly non-technical people, and they were sort of like flicking through the XKCD books. This is funny, yes? Can you explain one or two of these gags to me?
When you said that book, I thought you meant you got 50 Shades of Grey.
I very nearly bought that book, actually.
I gave my father a Kindle for his birthday a year ago, and I set 50 Shades of Grey on there, and I made it read-only, so he couldn't remove it.
Sheds or Shades?
Shades. 50 Sheds of Grey would be a great book about, like, architecture of sheds, but that's not what I got him. I got him 50 Shades of Grey.
I think Becky's going to find some 50 Sheds of Grey outtakes and read them out to you in her voice. She does it to me all the time.
Oh.
Hang on.
Yeah, I was trying to explain the pseudo make me a sandwich sketch. Now, if you're a Unix admin, this is hilarious.
Oh, there really is a 50 Sheds of Grey. I thought this was just an obscure joke, but it's a not-so-obscure joke.
No, I'm going to read some out for you now.
There's a guy in work has an XKCD t-shirt, and I keep hovering my mouse over it to see if the... if the additional second joke comes up.
I wouldn't be surprised if they have the Ken, so because they have all these interactive T-shirts now. You get off of, was it
ThinkGeek?
ThinkGeek. Yeah.
I heard Randall say that he didn't try and make the alt text jokes something that you needed to understand the original joke because he felt that a lot of people didn't know that there were alt text jokes.
Hmm.
Which I wonder how true that is.
In the book, there's some quite good ones where he was talking about frustrations in Nintendo games, and if you had your phone with you, there were QR codes all down the side of the main comic, actually linking to points in the Nintendo game that he found annoying. It's a really cool book.
Does he have the alt text jokes on those as well?
He puts them in different ways. He puts them in the main comic's in black, and then sort of like an alt text is usually in red. And it's either a mathematical problem to solve that gives you the punchline, or it's something like a QR code, or it's binary, or something like that. It's really well done.
Some of them I just don't get.
Yeah. I mean, I think he sometimes thinks that his audience thinks the same way he does, and they delight in solving impossible math problems as much as he does, and it's not always the case.
I still chuckle at the one that I think it was fairly recently, but the Upgoer 5, that one cracks me up.
Oh, I love that. That was beautiful, that one was. The other one that has taken a deep hold, I even used it to explain entropy in passwords, was the...
Correct horse battery staple.
Yeah, and that one holds a lot of weight. That one does. The more you go into it, correct horse battery staple. In fact, if you put that into Google, you only have to get as far as correct, and then the HO on horse, and it comes up with correct horse battery staple.
I just put it in the chat for people listening.
That how much do I have to type into Google is one of my favorite games, also.
Yeah, it's a very good indicator of how popular something is, isn't it? But genius guy, and he's right. What is what makes it funny? I'm trying to get a cat off my back. Get. Thank you.
I had to explain the frequentist Bayesian joke to a guy I work with because he didn't understand it, and I was like, that's okay, I barely understand it.
It is interesting to me that some of those comics can be so sincerely funny to like us geeks and sysadmins and things like that who either understand what is being said or sort of at least know enough to kind of understand, and then that they're just so completely like it's just like another language to certain other people. I think that's really, really interesting, and I'm trying to think if there's other stuff in the real world that causes such a divide in like what people can even comprehend as being, oh, that's a joke or not.
Lolcats is probably a good example of that. I mean, you either like cats or you don't, and if you do like cats, you know, you're obsessed by lolcats.
Memes in general are actually a pretty good example of that, because people can be set up to be able to sort of interpret that intellectually or not interpret that intellectually, and they just don't understand it at all.
Yeah, mimetic theories. Have we got any strongly religious people in the room that I might offend here? I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. But
yes and no, respectively, are the answers to that question.
If you look in Richard Dawkins' The God Delusion, he goes into mimetic theory as a possible strand of explanation for the popularity of religious doctrine. And it's surprising what a strong argument he makes on that plane alone. Just being, you know, memes have a very strong psychological influence on people.
I didn't think that was really much in contest that... I didn't think that was very contested that a lot of people view religions as memes, and that's why that there's the LOL Cat Bible. That's one of my favorite things.
Indeed, indeed. Very interesting area, though, mimetic theory.
Anyone know a good Android client to stream, to listen to the streams?
Can you use Winamp?
Or VLC? Can you use VLC?
For the standard Icecast, I've done better with Dolphin browser.
Don't want to install Dolphin.
And I think the standard Android browser as well.
Yeah, I'm trying that. I'm going to connect. Yes, it's playing. Just the standard browser. Paste in the stream URL.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm going to have to stop talking because I don't want to hear myself.
You can no longer be a part of the hive mind. And you won't be able to respond to this. Yeah, that's satisfying.
I don't know of a good two. I think the ones to mind is Cherry R Player. There's five of them out there. Be very, very similar. That because they all look the same once you do them, so they're using a kit from somebody. But it does work at it. It takes a while to get down the menus. You have to.
Hey, 5150, you are very hard to understand. You are clipping out real bad.
I have to get myself authenticated on this block, actually. It's quite good, isn't it?
I'm pretty happy with her. Yeah, I'm pretty happy with the audio quality. And it's not evil.
You were saying something about Skype, Pop of X?
Yeah, it's better than Skype.
It does seem so, doesn't it?
Yeah, as long as you don't need video.
Okay, so I've just got my friend Les Pounder. Do everybody know Les Pounder? Big Les P. He's coming
the
in.
The Chief!
Yes, the Chief. He's coming in. So when he comes in, if we all give him a nice big welcome.
I'm even going to put my electronic cigarette down for the round of applause for this.
Going back to the comment about lack of video, I prefer to sit here and imagine what you all look like rather than actually knowing what you look like.
That's a scary thought.
Yeah, in my case, you've made a very wise choice.
You should just imagine me as a koala.
Are you saying my face doesn't complete your world?
I've seen your face.
Okay, so to answer Ken's question that was asked what feels like an hour or so ago now, no, I do not have access to the Door ZT computer that's streaming MP3.
Jonathan, I've got a question for you.
He must have fell asleep.
Oh, Jonathan.
Mr. Nadu.
Is he there?
Mr. Photographer.
He'll be back. He's probably getting coffee or something.
Can you get bacon sandwiches on Amazon Prime? I'm so hungry, right?
You need to get yourself a wife to cook you some sausage sandwiches. That's what I did with Philip.
I've got one of those. She went and went down to the wildlife sanctuary to work and gain animals again.
I like the idea that you would have to get animals directly in the order where they would eat each other so you could have a consistent amount of animals.
No, it's very much more a scattergun approach where we're concerned.
Do you reckon she could get me a monkey? I love monkeys.
Like to eat? That's terrible.
I don't think we have a big natural population of monkeys in West Somerset here.
I thought it was like an animal sanctuary where you just sort of like take in animals.
It's near Bridgewater, so we could go down the pubs and have a look.
To be fair, we don't have a huge natural population of corn snakes either, do we?
Natural, no. Stupid things that are released into the wild by people who don't know how to take care of their pets, yes.
So if there is any monkeys that have stupid owners that can't look after them and they come your way, can I have first dibs?
You can have second dibs. I dare say she'd probably replace me with a monkey if one should come along.
I don't blame her.
Yeah, I'll send them up, you knock them down, yeah. Oh, John the Nice Guy's gone. Oh, hi.
Is Jonathan there? Yeah, are you there, Jonathan? Hello.
Looks like he just reconnected.
He's in the lounge.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is he trying to grab the Chief?
I don't know. I've been chatting to the Chief. He's on his way.
Mr. Nadu's back in the channel now, Philip.
Yeah, can you guys hear me now?
Hello. So, Jonathan, got a question for you.
Shoot.
How did you get on with your Debian remix?
It's definitely still in the works. It's considerably harder than how I had been building it, so I'm still wrapping my head around it, but I've failed miserably quite a few times.
Oh, well, at least you're giving it a go, though.
As the saying goes, fail early, fail often.
Yeah, I mean, once I get it down, though, this is definitely a much better way of, you know, building your distro using that live build system. It's so much more control, so I'm just trying to wrap my head around all the control that it gives you.
Yeah, definitely. It's a bit of a, well, I found it to be quite a steep learning curve, so it's, but once you sort of, like, get the hang of it, then it's you should be able to pick it up pretty quickly after that.
Yeah, once you get used to the system and you figure out how to maneuver around it, it's definitely a lot easier to use. But once you first do it, just like, oh man, what am I getting myself into?
What are you remixing it for, John?
I'm building my own GNU Linux distro called Sonar, and it's dedicated to accessibility. So I've been creating the distro so the installer is accessible for blind people, so a blind person can just install the distro totally by themselves with no help at all. And then I customize a lot of the applications within the distro to have a lot of accessibility features, like not just for blind people, not just for low vision people, but I include like on-screen keyboards and predictive text software for people with low motor skills. I include a font for people with dyslexia. So if you switch the font, it'll move system-wide all the fonts for people with dyslexia to help them with reading. I also included a program where you can just take any like webcam, as long as it loads inside of a Linux operating system. You can track people's either eye movement or even head movement to move the cursor around the screen, so people in wheelchairs and stuff can move the cursor around the screen, and then with the combination of the on-screen keyboard, they could actually type stuff out, or with the predictive text thing, they could maneuver their way around a computer.
Oh, I wish I had more hats so I could doff them all to you. That is superb.
That's a great name for it, too. Sonar?
Yeah. I've been holding on to it for a while, so I finally put it to some use.
The name is so good, in fact, that if you didn't do that, I think I would have to.
Sorry, I didn't hear you. The text-to-speech was going off when you were saying something.
The name is so good that if you didn't do that, I would have to.
I hear ya. I'm looking at getting the Argentinian domain name so I can just have son.ar.
Yeah, domain hacks. Yeah. It's great.
Keep up to date. I'm sure all guys at Linux Outlaws and Ubuntu and a bunch of other people would love to publicize that as you progress with that.
Yeah, I hope to get on Outlaws in maybe a month or two or something. I have a couple of versions right now. I have versions on Ubuntu 12.04, 12.10, and I have a Debian SID version right now and a Debian Wheezy version. And I also have, I've managed to get the LXDE desktop accessible, which is what I've been trying to do for quite some time, because I think it's important to get LXDE accessible for people around the world, because not everyone has like a smoking machine to run all the latest desktops, and LXDE runs on like very minimal hardware. So I now have that accessible to where a blind person can install a version of Sonar using LXDE, and it has all of the accessibility features within that also. It's kind of a hack though, because the LX panel isn't accessible, so I included the GNOME panel, which is accessible. So it's kind of a Frankenstein effort, but it works for right now.
Hey Jonathan. Sorry, Jonathan, I'm assuming this is... you might have already said this. I was stepping away, getting tea. Are you basing this on GNOME 2 or GNOME 3 or both?
The classic ones are using GNOME 3, but it's in the fallback mode. So it looks like GNOME 2, but it's GNOME 3 stuff, all GNOME 3 libraries. I also have a GNOME shell version. What I did on the Sonar Classic version is I included GNOME 3 and Fallback. Fallback is set as the default desktop, but if you press Control S at the login, Oracle will start at the login, and you can switch desktops right from there. So you could log into either GNOME Shell or GNOME Classic on that version of Sonar.
How do you know when you're at login to press Control S? I mean, for blind users.
When you get to the login, it makes a Sonar blip, and that lets you know you're at the login.
Nice.
Sweet.
The greatest advice I can offer you is to not put Amazon affiliate links in it.
I ripped it all out.
Yeah, Popey's gone, hasn't he?
Yeah, he probably left right before we got to that.
Good stuff.
I was also going to say, make sure the close and minimize buttons are off to the right, because if you can't see that they've been moved to the left, how are you ever going to find them?
Keystrokes.
What do you mean, move to the left? That's where they belong.
That's enough out of you, Mac boy.
That's ex-Max boy to you.
Oh, we're not going to have religious debates, are we?
Deep Geek, take a sip of coffee.
Emax. It's always Emax.
Nano.
Vi. I'm a Vi man.
I prefer Notepad.
You just love typing, don't you, Black Crow?
Yeah, I love the keystrokes.
See, the problem with me is that if you... I mean, I've tried to switch back and forth between Emacs and Vim, because I have nothing against Vim. But whenever I have to use Vim, then when I go back to Emacs, I just can't stop... I can't get my fingers to go back into the other mode. Like, I don't have that capability to switch back and forth.
See, everyone says you always have to use Vim. No, Vi. I go back to old school Vi.
You gotta be kidding me. Vi is horrible.
I use Ed.
But it's
Ed.
But it's small and it's always there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and that goes back to like the administrators type thing is you want the tool that's actually available everywhere to you, and Vi is always there. And actually, especially on Linux systems, it's actually generally just Vim anyway, so it's just Vim without some of the extension packages.
I just find they get in the way.
No, I don't know. I mean, the thing how Vi doesn't, what does it do? It doesn't delete until you, there's something weird how it deletes. Like, if you delete to the end of the line in Vi, it doesn't actually remove the characters till you start typing or something. It always throws me off. I forget some big difference between Vi and Vim that always throws me. But otherwise, yeah, they feel pretty much the same.
For me, it's just a case of you have to actually think about what you're deleting before you delete it, which just fits as a good idea for me.
Well, in Emacs, you have to do that too, because it takes you about 8 keystrokes to actually delete anything. So about the 6th keystroke or so, if you have changed your mind, you can always cancel.
Yeah, I think it's 2 or 3 keystrokes with Vi, isn't it?
I use Emacs for exactly one thing, and that is making ASCII art of Richard Stallman.
Oh man, I wish I knew that. I could have used that for some show notes I did recently.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. I got the beard with pipes and V's. That's how I did the beard. I was pretty proud of that. Did you guys see the sort of breakdown he had at the Spanish conference?
No.
Yeah, I heard about that. Actually, it wasn't a big deal. He like had like a panic attack or something. Isn't that right? Yeah.
That seems about right, yeah.
Yeah, he like... They call the medics or something, and it turned out to be just nothing.
Mr. Pound is coming.
He does sound like the kind of guy who's wound on just a little bit too tight. I hope he's going to make a big entrance.
Philip's just gone to get him.
Who's that?
Big Les, the chief.
Oh, okay. I'm going to take this moment while nobody's talking. I need to shout to Ken Fallon. We're having some trouble with the AUG stream, and we think we need to change where it's coming from, because I cannot get into Dora's computer.
Hi, Les!
Hi, Becky!
Hello, Les!
Hey, guys!
Hey, Les! It's the chief! Give him a round of applause!
Yay!
Thank you very much. Thank you. I feel humble.
I hope you've got your hip flask full.
Well, unfortunately, there's been a shortage of Kraken this Christmas, and I'm being forced to drink Sailor Jerry.
Philip got some Mount Gay from his mum.
What?
Mount Gay.
Okay, Kevin is bringing up another stream there.
I'm glad you said that was rum and not a verb.
Hi, Les!
Hey!
Hey!
Hey! Woo! Afternoon, everyone.
How the devil are you?
Thanks, Ken.
I just posted the video where Richard Stallman sort of freaks out in the chat.
Everyone had a nice Christmas.
A lovely Christmas, thank you.
Yes, we've had a brilliant Christmas. I hear you've had a really geeky Christmas, Les. Tell us what you've been doing.
Thanks, Phil. Great interview. It's been an extremely geeky Christmas this year, and namely because I've got a Raspberry Pi on Christmas Day, one of the new 512 boards. I've also managed to get my hands on a very cheap and very remarkable tablet, an Arcos 80 Cobalt Android 4.0. And using the Raspberry Pi and the tablet together, I've made a media centre for the living room, which is now streaming all of our video and music around the house. And it's fantastic, and it's all done with open source software, which I'm really happy about.
Sweet.
Very sweet.
Sysadmin genius.
Hash, sysadmin, yeah.
Have you managed to get... what are you using as your media center software on the Pi?
Rasp BMC.
Have you got any TV cards to work with that at all?
Not yet, no. That's next on my list. But to do that, I'll also need an aerial upgrade for the house. So,
Have you guys heard of TV Headend for XBMC Raspberry Pi?
Yes, yes, I've seen that. I've I was doing a little bit of Pi hacking last couple of days, and that's why I asked, because I tried using it, and I realised I didn't have my back end set up properly, and I haven't got as far as setting it up yet, so I'm in the market for some help on that.
Maybe worthwhile having a look on a blog called thedigitallifestyle.com. The guy on there, he's managed to use a Raspberry Pi and some back end TV wizardry to basically have a fully functional PVR from Raspberry Pi.
Oh, very nice. What was the URL? Can you paste it into the chat room, please?
Yeah, I'll find it now. Bear with me.
Yes, please, Les. Thank you. Oh, we had Mr. Cannon just disconnected.
I don't think he'd get any audio, so he's disconnected.
Oh. If we could have a round of booze when he arrives.
It's too early for booze here. I'm still trying to finish my first coffee.
Sorry. Boo as in boo.
Yes, I know.
Boom, boom.
Come on, Pog, you can throw some Baileys in that coffee.
Is the bar open? Is it time to get the alcohol out?
You see, some podcasts, they actually have, you know, soundboards and that for real rim shots. Here, we just do it manually, the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, Becky, it's New Year's Eve somewhere.
If there was a soundboard for that, we would have used old Greg for the Baileys.
It's New Year's Eve in Adelaide and Broken Hill 2 minutes ago.
Happy New Year, Adelaide and Broken Hill.
What are they, 30 minutes off? How does that work?
Yeah, it's the previous one was much of Australia and five more. Don't know what the five more were. But Australia, they're lucky because they have like four or five different time zones.
Yeah, but they're usually 60 minutes apart. It's on the half hour right now.
Yeah, some of the time zones are a half hour off.
Yeah. It's worse than us down in Australia with five time zones.
Guys, I need to go away for an hour. Is that okay?
No, you must.
What are you going to be doing?
Going to feckin' comma, which is equivalent to B&Q.
Your life has ended.
Which is the equivalent of what would it be in the States? Some DIY shop.
What, like Home Depot or something?
Yeah, Home Depot, yeah.
I must tell you some of my stories about my adventures with power tools.
I'll still be listening on my mobile phone until I go in there, because they have 3G disruptors in there so that you can't ring your wife to ask her if she should buy this or not.
All right, so remember, just keep talking about Ken, because eventually he has to go in the store and won't be listening. Are you going on that?
Shouldn't we wait until he goes in the store and then start talking about him?
No, because I want the people there to be amused as he walks back and forth towards the entrance, debating whether he should, you know, commit to going in or stay outside and listen to what we're saying.
We should be shouting things like, this man buys his kids fireworks, he's in here to buy his kids power tools, stop him, stop him.
My wife said stop pulling the piss.
Never.
That's really going to stop us, yeah.
Red rag to a bull, I think.
It's
that
my
comes
job
up.
To pull the piss.
Is that pull the piss? Is that like a... Because we say take the piss here.
Pull the piss is Irish, I think.
It would be.
We don't say take the piss in America at all. That was a great experienced when I first heard that expression through, like, through a German to English dictionary. We didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah, I feel we should bring that to America.
Then? Take the Mickey.
What's that? What would you say, Becky?
So what would you say instead, then?
Like, for teasing someone or making fun of someone?
Yes.
Yeah, teasing or making fun of, maybe ragging on them.
I don't think we all say taking a piss. Not all of us, I don't think.
No, but you all know what it means.
True.
Yeah, most people here have never even heard it.
What you need to buy yourself, Pokey, is a publication from the UK called Roger's Profanosaurus.
Hey!
You need a Profanosaurus.
Awesome. Or just go on Urban Dictionary.
The Profanosaurus is fantastic. Come on, it's better than Urban Dictionary.
It is the masterwork.
I'm going to go and look for that on Amazon now. It's Philip's birthday soon.
Oh, yeah, you need a Profanosaurus. I was trying to find one to explain to all the American people in Tech and Coffee the other day what Profanosaurus was. And it's a thick book. It's it runs to 620 pages worth of filth. And I could only find one that was even came close to meeting their user agreement.
What a surprise. It's linked with Viz.
It gets 4.5 stars out of 5 on Goodreads.
Oh, yeah. You know,
Becky, you ought to be careful about giving your husband a book like that, because if my wife gave me that book, the next year of her life would be, can we try this? Can we try that?
Oh, I wish my husband would say that to me.
Hang on, it's not the Kama Sutra.
Well, it might be live in Middlesbrough, but...
Sorry, I'm just reading it now. For example, there's one here, which I think I can broadcast. Entry, Techie's Perks, noun. Whilst fixing a mate's PC, taking the opportunity to search his hard drive for photographs of his missus in highly compromising positions.
Ah, yes, the old my computer going to see and typing in .jpg.
That's part of standard operating procedure, that, isn't it, for a fix?
Absolutely.
These days you go looking for videos instead, don't you?
Yeah, .mpg, probably. What do cameras take these days? Camcorders? .mpg, probably?
Mine takes VHS.
That would be cool.
MTS.
Oh, yeah, it is MTS, right.
Pokey, you've moved up. I thought you were still on Betamax.
Yeah, well, I got a hand-me-down.
I burn all mine to Laserdisc.
That's quite a nice one. Heartthrob, a low-grade hunk who is unaccountably alluring to ladies from the lower echelons, e.g. Peter Andre or Robson Green.
The ones that are clean and readable at this time of day are good, but the better ones are the ones that are just pure filth and you cannot broadcast ever.
Well, what's funny is that even a book from England about vulgarity sounds to us Americans very actually like lots of big words and fancy ways of saying things. Echelons. I mean, that's just not how we talk over here.
It's very erudite filth.
Yeah.
Oh, I've found a beauty, a tawdry Hepburn, a fine-boned porcelain-skinned beauty who, on closer inspection, is revealed to be cheaply constructed and of poor quality.
That was the best possible example that you could have given us.
Yeah, we'd pay top dollar over here for that kind of thing.
Let's see if we can find any more broadcastable ones.
What about Black Crow? Low resolution fox. A woman who from a distance appears alluring, but on closer inspection is a minger.
Is this where I put my feminist hat on and start ragging on you all now?
Yeah.
We'll find other ones, don't worry.
I must admit, the selection is pretty difficult when you're looking at a publication from Viz.
Many years ago, when I worked for the government, we used to have a call centre and a whiteboard and a copy of the Profanosaurus. And our team leader used to write a word of the day from the Profanosaurus on the board.
Excellent.
How did you get away with that?
it was in the early days of the contact centres being created, and they didn't really care as long as the job was done.
And someone didn't take you to equality for that?
I didn't write it on the board.
My lot would have a duck fit at that.
I think with call centre staff, it really is between 19 and 26, the average age of members of staff. So they're all wanting a good time and a laugh rather than how many years is it until my pension.
I'm the youngest in my office, and I'm the manager.
You mean to say, Becky, that they wouldn't appreciate switchcraft, the magical ability of a woman to take incredible amounts of cash to disappear into thin air whilst out shopping?
No.
That's the best.
They're all ladies of a certain age in my office.
Oh, I see.
I just got that. That took me a while to get that one. Switchcraft. Does Switch even exist anymore?
I think it does.
I thought it got replaced by Visa.
Oh, is it the name of a credit card company?
Yeah, sorry. I thought I'd jump in there
over our heads.
Yeah, and not so bluntly explain it to the Americans on the line.
It was a debit card in the UK, I think, a while ago. I actually know this because of some old British television I would watch.
Did they have awful commercials where they went, "It's time to switch"?
To switch.
No.
They would do that here. You would see those commercials every 15 minutes for 6 weeks.
I feel like advertising is so much better everywhere else in the world.
We had a spate of the MasterCard adverts. You know, for everything else in the world, it's priceless. We had a big spate of those adverts.
I hated those. I have no idea how those ever caught on.
The best adverts were the Barclaycard ones with Mr. Bean, Rowan Atkinson.
Yeah, I'd probably watch a commercial with him in it because he's hilarious, probably no matter what he's doing.
He's really old and grumpy now.
Oh, is he?
Really? Wow, old and grumpy Mr. Bean.
From what I've seen of him, he seems to only be not funny when he's doing comedy.
Yeah, he's not overly funny. I think he's more popular outside of the UK than he is in the UK. That's why when he came on for the Olympics, I think he was on the Olympic opening ceremony. I think everybody in the UK sort of like said, you know, what the fuck is he doing here? But everybody else in the world loves him apparently. So I don't know.
Yeah, I never liked him. I thought he was just a guy who made faces. I didn't get it.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much it, I think.
He's a one-trick pony, really, isn't he?
He doesn't have a huge range.
Folks, Blackadder, Blackadder, Blackadder.
Oh, yeah, but a totally different character to Mr. Bean.
Yes, yes, but... Okay, are we talking about Mr. Bean or Rowan Atkinson?
Yeah, Mr. Bean.
Oh, okay, fine.
I thought we were talking about Rowan Atkinson.
Yes,
same here. Yeah, because Blackadder is hilarious.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I saw a couple of them and just didn't get it, I guess.
Okay, get him off the line now.
Who else here has admin rights?
Just about everybody, jeez. So, Jonathan, I got to ask you a question I've been meaning to for a while, and I didn't get to jump in when you were talking before. Why did you feel the need to create Sonar? What was wrong with I don't remember the name of the one now.
Vinix.
Say again?
Vinix.
No, Vinix. Is that what you're thinking of?
No, not even Vinix. No, Ruben Rodriguez, the one he put together.
Oh, Triskel.
Triskel. Actually, before you answer that, why would it not be better just to work mainstream and have a flow into all the distros?
Because I've been trying to do things like that for a while, and Ruben's been the first like success in that, but I wanted to take it even farther. Like, Ruben did make the installer accessible, which is awesome, and the way he did it is really fantastic because it doesn't get in the way if you don't need the accessibility. But I've been including a lot more accessible stuff, and a lot of other distros would be like, well, you know, we don't want to include that because then everyone's going to use it, or, you know, so I tailored it to be specifically for people that need accessible software. So if you have any type of accessibility needs, I would say install Sonar because it's going to be geared towards specifically that. I mean, a person that doesn't need accessible stuff obviously could install it, but they'd probably either remove a lot of stuff, delete a lot of stuff, or install a lot of stuff that isn't in there for them. So, you know, I've been trying to work with, like, Fedora and, like, you know, Ubuntu. you know, with the whole move to Unity, a lot of the stuff as far as that is still pretty broken. You know, when they first introduced Unity, it was completely inaccessible, which is understandable because it's a totally new, like, desktop or whatever. So they introduced the Unity 2D, which they were pushing, you know, for that, for accessibility. Then they decided to kill off Unity 2D, and whatever accessibility fixes went into that are thrown out the window. And then now you're back to an inaccessible Unity 3D. And so, you know, they're obviously Ubuntu is going down the Unity road. So, and pretty much only Ubuntu uses Unity, obviously. I mean, other distros have tried to, you know, make it installable or work, but I guess a lot of other distros have had problems with getting Unity working. So, you know, you'd be able to cover a lot more ground working with, like, GNOME, or I've been working, I've gotten a hold of the XFCE maintainer and LXDE maintainer, and both of them are right now making Thunar accessible, PCManFM accessible, and also working on making the panels accessible. So once they do that, then XFCE and LXDE will be totally accessible also. So then I'd have three major desktops that would be accessible and give choice to people that, you know, well, blind and low vision users. If you can see, then, you know, every desktop is basically accessible. But I think I might have lost Pokey's first question, though.
No, you answered it in there. That's cool. Thank you.
Well, and just for before we go any further, anybody who's listening to this that does not throw in $2 a month, this is a great New Year's resolution that you can do. $2 a month to the Accessible Computing Foundation, and that automatically buys you a waiver for HPR for 2012.
Nah, thank you, Ken, which you're also a member, and thank you for that.
Linky, oh, please.
And did you notice the waiver was for 2012 and not for 2013?
Yeah, retrospective.
Nice waiver. So the other thing I was going to say is I think it's nice that Jonathan's actually basically leading by example. You know, he's putting something out there that actually does what people need as far as being enabled. And that's the thing that hopefully will actually catch on in the rest of the community, is that example that he is setting for them.
Well, in theory, having a distro that is configured up front to be entirely accessible should be even, I mean, it really kind of is better than anything else that any other operating system offers right now, I think, because even on, like, Windows, you have to buy JAWS, and so you'd need a sighted user to install JAWS, so I think that's pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah, I mean, eventually I'd like to build sort of a framework where distributions, if they were, you know, interested in making their distribution, you know, totally accessible, they could follow a framework. And, you know, if they follow the framework, 90%, you know, of their distro would be, you know, accessible. And, you know, the focus of Sonar, again, is if you depend on accessibility, you install Sonar, you're going to have everything you need out of the box. Like, you know, yeah, you could install Fedora, but, oh, you know, what's the program that I need for the on-screen keyboard? And it's kind of like what Klaatu says, where, you know, Fedora and Ubuntu and, you know, OpenSUSE or whatever, sure, you can get them to the point that Sonar is at, but if you don't know what you're looking for, or if you need help to install it or whatever, then that's just more time being taken up, you know, getting everything set up. With Sonar, everything's ready to go out of the box. Once you install it and reboot, you're ready to go. You already have the font for dyslexia and the on-screen keyboard and the program with the webcam tracking. All that stuff is ready to go. You don't need to hunt anything down and install it.
I meant to ask earlier, John, have you got any plans to make an ARM distro so that there's a possibility of making it Raspberry Pi compatible?
Yeah, I was going to look at Raspbian pretty soon to see if I could kind of like re-spin that or whatever. Does Raspbian come? It comes with LXD, I think, for desktop, doesn't it? Or does it?
Yes,
not come?
It does.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
So since I've been able to get LXD accessible, well, I guess before I go that far, do you know, is it using like Debian Wheezy or Squeeze? Or do you know what they're using for?
Wheezy.
Okay, so there should be a pretty good chance that I can get LXD accessible on that. I can't remember what version of LXD I need. But, yeah, I was thinking about that a couple of weeks ago. I would like to check that out and see if I can get that running.
I mean, that just opens up the possibility for low-cost physical devices on a massive scale, in fact.
Yeah, that was my whole push for getting LXD accessible, like I was saying earlier. It's because, you know, people around the world would be able to, you know, throw this on 6-, 7-, 8-year-old computers and have something to work with. You know, there's a billion people in the world with some type of disability. And so that's why Sonar is focused on those 1 billion people.
Wow, you just the possibilities are endless here, aren't they?
I have, Jonathan, I have so many questions about how the workflow of Sonar would work, though, even if you are trying to get someone to figure out how to install it without sight. Or, like, how do you cue them to follow the prompts or anything without them being notified in advance of how some of that stuff works?
Well, on the website, sonar-project.org, there's a quick guide thing, so you can click on that and just look at it real quick. It gives you a rundown of the different variations of a Sonar, and kind of gives you a quick, like, here's what to expect. So, like, say if you use in the GNOME shell version, the minute you boot in the disk and it boots off of it, right away you'll hear the sound for Sonar logging in, and then you'll hear Orca start talking right away. And if you read the quick start guide, you'll see, like, okay, if I press the Windows key and just type install, the installer comes up, press enter, and then it just walks through the Ubiquiti installer that, you know, Ubuntu has made. And I mean, you don't really need any guide. I mean, it's all understandable what you have to do through the installer at that point. So it's pretty straightforward. The Debian one's a little trickier. It's the Debian installer that I'm using right now. It's accessible, but the problem is it doesn't... It'll tell you that you're in a text box, but it doesn't tell you what the text box is for. So in the quick start guide, I mapped all of it out. Like, okay, this next part, you'll see four blank text boxes. The first one is your root password. The second one is confirm your root password. So I laid all of that out in the quick start guide for the Debian install.
Interesting. I these are problems that you've solved that I never would have thought of to attack that way, even, because they're so different.
That's another good thing about Sonar, too, because, I mean, like, so often, at least in my life, the blind users that I am talking to Linux about, I mean, like, a lot of their, even though, like, one of them is my mother and I know her pretty well, I still just have, and I've lived with her my entire life, I still don't know exactly what she needs out of a computer interface. So someone like Jonathan coming in and saying, hey, this is what a blind user really needs, like, actually needs. That's really helpful to me, because that takes the burden of trying to kind of, like, interview the user and say, okay, well, what do you expect when you sit down at a computer? What would feel natural to you to make it work this way? It's just all there, and I don't have to figure that out myself. So that's much appreciated.
Yeah, again, that's why I love having LXD accessible now. It's because, you know, obviously, as blind people, I could care less how pretty GNOME Shell is. I could care less how, like, you know, the whiz-bang effects on the desktop. I want speed and performance, and that's kind of the reason why I make the fallback mode in GNOME the default desktop, because it's just really fast, and it still gives you all the latest libraries and stuff like that. And, you know, again, with LXD, it's just blazing fast. With Sonar, using LXD, it's just, you know, you can use, like I said, I have a 5 or 6-year-old-ish laptop. It's like a original kind of like, it's like a T5500, so I don't even think it's a Core 2 Duo processor, but I mean, it flies using the LXD version and the fallback mode. So I'm using a 6-year-old computer, and it's blazing fast.
6 years old? That's practically new. What are you talking about?
Well, you know what I'm saying. Like, for here in the States, I would almost say that's old for people. I mean, this everyone I know is, like, getting laptops every 1 or 2 years. It's kind of crazy.
Nah, it's newer than anything I own, brother.
I have the computer museum in my loft. That's where they go to die in this house.
Oh, you have one of those too.
Jonathan, I'm just imagining you reading the Ubuntu forums and seeing people complain about Compiz, and you're like, what is this shit? And just completely, like, it has nothing to do with you at all, and they just complain, and you just don't care because it doesn't matter at all to your experience.
Yeah, exactly. The only thing good, the thing that's good about Compiz is for has an awesome magnification thing for low vision users. So I set that up by default for low vision users to just do a couple of. I set up a bunch of hotkeys. So if you read the quick guide, you'll see all the hotkeys. And so they can boot in the Sonar, click a couple of hotkeys, and boom, magnification's up and running.
I really like the Compiz magnification. I've used that myself.
Sounds like you thought of most things there. I've got a question for you in terms of accessibility. How does GNOME 3 stack up against Unity? I mean, I know you've already said that Unity's not brilliant, but what's GNOME 3 like in comparison?
GNOME 3 is really looking really good, especially 3.8 that they're kind of pushing on now. I did a quick install of 13.04 just to check out GNOME 3.8, and it's looking really good. Like, I would almost say it's almost like 100% accessible now. It's they've really gotten it, you know, back to where kind of GNOME 2 was before they ditched GNOME 2.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Do you think that's a quality that you get in a free software project like the GNOME Foundation that maybe Canonical as a commercial organization are less interested in the accessibility because of their, you know, needing to make money?
Yeah, actually, someone asked me a question like that. They wanted to interview me for like LWN, and he wrote me a bunch of questions, and I kind of got to that with, like, he was asking kind of like, you know, why didn't I work closer with Ubuntu, you know, for Sonar or whatever. And it, you know, Ubuntu only has so many employees. They got a few people working on accessibility, but at the end of the day, like you said, that, you know, Canonical is a for-profit company. They need, you know, they're looking to make money, and if there's a deadline, unfortunately, accessibility gets pushed back if, you know, something else needs to go forward. So it's not that they don't care about accessibility, it's just they have limited time, limited resources, and they can only get so much done in the time that they're working. And I've heard recently that they're really not even going to push for any sort of accessibility improvements or whatever only on each long-term support. So anything in between that, it seems like they're not really going to do a whole lot of moving accessibility forward. Like, they'll do some things or whatever, but it's not going to be a huge focus in between all the long-term supports.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I thought. So it's, you know, I think it just highlights how important an organization like the GNOME Foundation is.
Yeah, they've definitely, you know, they keep accessibility in the forefront. Unfortunately, there's been a couple of things recently that they've kind of had to kill, or like the one thing that's a little upsetting for me is they killed off the GNOME fallback session. So now it's still in Ubuntu 13.04, but it's an older it's like the 3.6 instead of 3.8. It's a little disappointing because, I mean, GNOME Shell is great, 3.8 is fantastic, but even on my computer, it's like a little, not laggy, but if you press the Windows key, it takes, you know, 10 seconds for the box to come up. You type something in, it takes another 5 or 7 seconds to fill in. So it's not as quick as the fallback mode. In the fallback mode, I can launch stuff, you know, as soon as I type it in. But on GNOME 3, you know, it could be just, you know, me being picky, but like I said, it's just a little laggy. And, you know, like I said, as a blind user, I could care less what it looks like. I want performance. So that's why I was a little disappointed that they were killing advancements with the fallback session.
I'm really surprised that they would do that. Do you happen to know what their reasoning was?
Lack of, you know, help and things like that. They just figured it's, you know, it's easier to continue to work on the shell than spread resources and work on the fallback session. As long as they keep packaging it, I mean, there really doesn't need to be any sort of advancements with the fallback session. It just gives you the two panels like the old GNOME 2. So, I mean, even as long as, like, you know, distros keep packaging it, I think it's probably fine. I don't see where it would be a problem if they don't keep, you know, advancing it. If the 3.6 fallback session sticks around, I think that'll be fine.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant they killed it off, like it no longer existed as an option.
Yeah, well, at first I thought that is what they meant, but they're just stopping development. So,
gotcha.
That probably makes sense. The 'cause did the fallback session exist before Mate really took hold? So do you think, sort of like now that Mate is, because I think Fedora in their latest release, they've going to have Mate in all their repositories and stuff. So I think it's quite popular, and maybe they've stopped developing because they think, well, you know, if people want the old classic interface, they can use Mate, and it's, you know, it's a waste of our time carrying on developing the fallback mode.
Well, they introduced
Happy
the fallback.
Happy New Year, Western Australia, and all those other guys.
Happy New Year, Australia.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to the rest of Australia. Happy 2011.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, Jonathan.
No, I was going to say, they introduced fallback because of the whole 3D acceleration. If computers didn't support the 3D acceleration, it would go into fallback by default, like on its own. But GNOME Shell introduced the thing that Fedora had made, which Unity is also taking advantage of, which I cannot think of what it's called off the top of my head. It basically does the 3D rendering within the processor now. It offloads it to the processor, which is fine. But, I mean, if you're on a machine that can't handle 3D acceleration, chances are that thing's going to bog down your processor to produce the rendering. So that's, I believe, why GNOME was killing Fallback, because they're implementing that now into GNOME Shell.
I think it's LLVB.
What was that?
I'm sorry, Red Stick. Jonathan, can I ask you, did you mention where you can find Sonar?
Sonar-project.org.
Okay, because I have quite a few older pieces of equipment that I'm going to try to install it on, and I'll see if I can document installation on the older pieces of hardware.
Awesome, yeah, definitely. Appreciate it.
I think the software that will accelerate the graphics using the processor is LLVM Pipe.
Yes, that's it. Yes, that's what they're using.
How has Cinnamon and Mate integrated into your accessibility research?
Cinnamon, unfortunately, is completely inaccessible, and Mate doesn't, as far as I knew the last time I checked, Mate doesn't include any sort of accessibility stack within the desktop.
Have you tested out Simon 0.4?
I want to. I haven't had the time or resources to get it up and running. I've been reading about it. It seems it takes a little bit of effort to kind of get it up and running, but it seems impressive when you do have it up and running.
What is Simon?
Simon is, I think it's in the KDE project now, but it's a voice recognition software. So I know the last time I spoke with Aaron Saigo, he said that the chess game that was in KDE by default, you could actually play the chess game with your voice using Simon on the back end. So you could play the chess game totally without even touching the keyboard or anything. You could just speak your moves and it would play the game.
Very nice. Very cool.
Yeah, that's like kind of the last piece of the puzzle for me, is I really want to get Simon into Sonar, and then I would almost have every kind of spectrum of accessibility covered, where, you know, you could use Simon to maneuver through the menus. You could say, like, applications, internet, Firefox, and then boom, it will bring you online. And then you can actually navigate the links and everything also using Simon. And you can play and pause, like, audio or video. You can open up LibreOffice Writer and, you know, dictate text to it. It can do a lot of stuff, but like I said, there's a little bit of effort to, like, get it everything configured and up and running, which I haven't been able to get to yet.
You could also control the mouse. I think they have a system where it cuts the screen up into a grid, and it'll have like 1, 2, 3, 4 for each of the four corners, and then you say the number, and then it goes into that grid and cuts it up again. And you go through that until you actually get the mouse to where you want it.
That's cool. Yeah, I definitely. Do you have any experience using Simon? It sounds like you know a little bit about it.
I haven't used it yet. I was just following the project. They just have the release announcements on my feed. I was reading that.
Yeah, like I said, it's pretty impressive. I just haven't had the time to like really get it set up.
Has anybody used Rockbox?
Klaatu does, or you used to.
I use it, not for accessibility, if that's where you're headed.
No, that's not.
Yeah, I use it all the time.
Yeah, I use it every day.
I just got it set up on my cheap ClipZip. Been pretty happy. Put Doom on it.
Yeah, I've got mine on a Clip Plus, the one that's older than the Zip.
I had the Clip Plus, but for some reason the clip broke, and then the power button broke.
Hey, Pokey, I heard that audio drama that you were on. That's pretty cool.
Oh, this thing of ours?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that thing's a lot of fun. I don't know how much longer my character has.
Oh, really? Are you going to give us any insights on the what's going to come up next?
No, I actually don't know. I just I don't know. It just doesn't seem like he's going to last too much longer.
Well, it seems like you're that guy's right hand man. So if he takes over, then I'd assume you'd have a pretty important role.
Yeah, I don't know how much to say because I can't remember how much has aired and how much I've only recorded.
Yeah, the last episode I listened to, which was a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if they put up a new one, but it seemed like right at the end he killed, you know, the older boss, and like that new boss, is, you know, that new guy is going to step in, it seems like.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right, well, no, I can't say nothing.
What's this then, Pokey?
It's an audio drama. It's a like a old like mob type of a story, like from the 70s or early 80s. Like New York Mafia type thing.
Radio drama.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
The Shadow
like
Knows.
The Archers.
What's that?
Like The Archers.
Oh, I don't know that one. I'm sorry. No, it's more like kind of like a play, I guess. Like just a story where people act out their parts, but it's just an audio drama.
Is there a link for it?
I bet there is. Let me try and find it for you.
I'm always after new things to listen to on the car on the way to work.
Don't you listen to Pokey enough?
You can't get enough of Pokey.
If my wife were here, she'd agree with you, buddy. Oh, you know what, Becky? You're in luck, because not only do I have a link, but the most recent post is a casting call, so I don't know if he's still looking for actors or actresses, but that would be pretty cool, too.
I'm sat here shaking my head no, and my husband's across the table going, yeah!
I like to volunteer my wife for all sorts of things.
All right, I just posted the link in the Mumble chat in the IRC chat.
Thank you, got it.
I'll have to look up Profanosaurus in the for actress.
That brings me back to something, actually. We have a listener, a female listener called Hannah, who goes online by also the name Ultra Turquoise. And I think, actually, Black Crow and Big Les P need to send out a massive apology for all of the sexist remarks that they were making.
And Bobo Bex needs to send out an apology for encouraging sexist remarks.
Yeah, she did say that on Google Plus to me. She just said, typical, the one time that she starts to join in, we're doing all the feminism stuff.
Well, she should come in and just stop the whole thing. I mean, that would have been the way to do it.
I think she's listening on a stream.
She's not alone either. We've got a bunch of people listening on the streams.
Well, Hannah, if you're out there, join us.
Come and play, Hannah. Put your knitting down and come and join us.
Maybe the feminist version of the bat signal came up and, you know, it signaled her. And that's how she knew.
Come and tell us off. We need to be told off.
You guys sound so creepy right now.
Please. No, that's just Black Crow.
Tell us off.
Normal.
Yeah, Black Crow, I can sense a shooing in your direction, mate.
What, like a proper excellent George Bush shooing?
No, the foot will still be attached.
Oh, all right.
And it's not going at anybody's head. It's going elsewhere.
It's indiscriminate. It'll just hit any part of the body.
Mr. Big Les P, Mr. The Chief, can you tell us what tech events we've got planned for this year, please?
I'm just looking up shooing in Profanosaurus now.
Thanks for the update. Well, Becky, tech events. There's one that I can tell you of, which is in the UK. It's the Raspberry Jamboree, which is in March this next year, 2013. That's been run by Alan O'Donoghue, techno teacher on Twitter. And it's going to be the largest Raspberry Pi event in the UK. Close to 340 people should be attending.
Wow, that's impressive.
For the UK, it is.
It's going to be a big venue and a hell of a lot of things going on that day. It's still to be confirmed as to what's going on, because Alan likes to play things close to his chest. But I have heard talk it's going to be a conference with some fringe elements to it where people can get their hands dirty with Raspberry Pis.
I have to get my hands on one of those.
They are great little toys.
I have one. I'm just trying to figure out a use.
I have the old 256 meg memory one. And is there a big performance improvement with the 512 meg RAM one?
Not really. I've got a 256 and a 512, and I can't see much difference. I mean, using Raspberry MC, most of the work's been done by the GPU, so to speak, so that's doing all the work for me. So RAM-wise, it can get a little slow when it's pulling a lot of feeds, such as a list of MP3s from a hard drive or a network connection, but nothing majorly, no real difference.
Mind you, that might get better with tuning. If you've got a bit more latitude for tuning the split between GPU memory and CPU memory, yeah, you could probably get better performance out of the 512 with the tweaking.
Yeah, you can change the config file, can't you, at the start, so it changes the split of the RAM.
Yeah, I think the standard Raspbian installation gives you the option to change the split on install. So there is somewhere buried away. There's a little utility for changing that as the default setting.
Yeah, once you DD the image across to an SD card and run it for the first time, it'll ask you what you want to do, how to partition the drive, how to overclock and change your RAM settings. You can do it manually as well. I think it's in the root, there's a boot folder, and you can change one of the files in there. And it's got a predetermined ratio for the RAM between CPU and GPU.
Isn't that under the Raspi config folder, I think?
Yeah, correct. I was going to say that.
Yeah, I want to use mine with my Roku. I want to put Plex. I don't know if anybody's heard of it, but I want to put a Plex server on that and then use that with the Roku.
Has anybody tried using it as a server?
I want to
Raspberry Pi. I use my Raspberry Pi as a proxy server so that I can. Well, at work, they've got some sort of crazy filter thing, so I can't go onto YouTube or Facebook. Not that I want to go onto Facebook, but occasionally you need to. And so I SSH into my Raspberry Pi at home and run a proxy through that, a SOX 5 proxy through Firefox.
That's a cool use.
Yeah, I thought so. To be honest, I got the Raspberry Pi at OddCamp and had it for a while and was sort of like struggling for ideas of what to use it for. And so I didn't. It just sort of like sat on my desk for a while. And then I started this new job and figured that I really needed some sort of proxy server. And I looked around the web for free ones and stuff, and I just thought, well, I'll just set it up myself in the end. And so I did that, and it works brilliantly, to be fair.
Core Nominal, you need to make Crunch Pie.
No, there's a chap out there that's already done a sort of like spin-off. He's done Pie Bang. I've not tried it myself, but I hear good things.
Nice.
Les, get your Profanosaurus out and look up Shoebox Special.
Will do, bear with me. I'm just on PieBangLinux.org at the moment looking at Crunch Bang for the Raspberry Pi.
Nothing to do with us. That's the disclaimer.
Oh, we're well versed in a disclaimer. I've had a chat with Phil about this over many hours on Google Talk. It has nothing to do with you lot, does it? It's done by another team.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been chatting with the guy that does it, and, you know, good luck to him, but I've just too much on my plate at the moment to be, to be involved, so, but I wish him the best, and I hope it takes off for him. So, talking of Raspberry Pis, what do you think the... Because it took me ages. I didn't really want one for a long time, and then Becky bought me one at OddCamp, because I just couldn't figure out what the magic was with them. What do you think it is?
Cost.
I'm sorry.
Cost and disposability, that you can throw at it something that might destroy it. You can hack away to your heart's content, and if you break it, no problem.
And the point is, everybody... has a use. It's way below the spouse purchase level, so you can buy enough of them.
No, purchase level.
No, seriously. But I mean, you can kind of say if you save up a few coffees for a week, you have enough to buy one. And everybody sees it everybody has this pet project that they've always wanted to do, whether it's hardware or software or whatever. I know it's got loads and loads of guys excited and work. There's two guys who've done really cool hardware things that they've been hacking on with Arduinos for ages, never got it to work, and then were able to put in a Raspberry Pi and got it to work, you know, in a few evenings. For other people, it's like an XBMC box. For me, it's like all the kids have. I have something like 12, no, some huge amount of number of Pis around doing various different things.
So you hear a few people say that the Raspberry Pi is all about the connections and the input-output on it. Is that right, Ken?
Yes, if you're interested in that, it's all about that. If you're interested in having a PC in your kids' rooms, it's all about having a PC in your kids' rooms.
Yeah, I think for me, because I'm more software than hardware, but I'd really like to get into the hardware side of things a bit more. So I've been checking out the... is it Pi Mag? Magpie.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. If you don't know that, folks... what was it, the magpie.org org. Hold on, I'll get a link where you continue to talk.
Yeah, it's a brilliant magazine. There's some for complete hardware noobs like myself, there's some projects in there that they break down and make really easy to follow. And it's just sort of like, maybe it's that spark, gives you that spark of imagination. You need to think, oh, okay, a Raspberry Pi, you know, it's not just there to be used as a proxy server. You can do all sorts of magical shit with it.
I think where it's going to go to is when kids see their dads hacking about with pies and mums, then it's going to spark that interest. I think it's going to be difficult to get them through the direct route, but by the indirect route, I can see it working and achieving its aims.
What I've been doing in work is, I just have a load of these. I have a load of these because I ordered 3. I forgot I ordered them, and then I ordered 3 more, and then the ones that I ordered previously came in, and then I kept kind of ordering them and giving them to people, and then when people get their own, they give them back to me, and then, I've already ordered another one, so that's kind of what's happening. But they're a fantastic little tool for just giving to somebody here. Just take that. I gave one to my father-in-law, who's an electrical school teacher. He teaches electricians, so they're always messing with LEDs and stuff, so that seems ideal.
The thing is, they also don't have a case, so they can be packaged any way you want and to anyone's desire.
I have a Lego case.
I'm going to try to hook mine up to Christmas lights next year.
I think Excellent. Think Big Les has already beat you to it, I think.
No, that was Arduino, but you can do the same thing with a Pi. I've already read up that for next year.
Can we go through the list and see with the people of who has pies what you're doing with them, what you intend to do with them?
I'm not doing anything right now, but I recently saw a project to turn into a GPS logger. I already have a GPS mouse, and I'm just going to set it up. I just need a power supply for that.
Me, I have the 256K version. I'm looking at it mainly from a media server angle. I'm hoping that one day we might be able to get it working as a Minecraft server as well.
Me, I just got it. I have the 512 version. It was on back order and they finally sent it to me. And I'm looking at doing a couple projects. One, I want to run the media server using the Plex with the Roku. And then I also want to get this Christmas light set up where you can go with the music. And I want to set a little business up with it. Where I can rent them for a month during the Christmas holidays and set up people's lights at their houses.
That sounds like a really cool project.
So I've already said I'm using mine as a proxy server, so I can access sites from work. Interestingly, my brother, who works for CERN out in Switzerland, on the front, well, I think you all know where CERN is. So he... asked me the other day, because he's come back for Christmas, he asked me if he could connect to it so he can watch some of the British UK channels on the computer. So I'm going to have to set him up with an account on that now.
I think the RPI would be great as just a simple file server or as a proxy server, but what I've always wanted with my home server is various stages of completion is... set up virtual machines so you could pop on and, you know, you could have your own Mumble server in one VM and Asterisk in another, whatever. I haven't quite got that, but I just don't think the RPI probably has the memory to be a replacement for a home server if you're going to do stuff like that.
Oh, yes, it has. My Pi, my first Pi is a 512. Sorry, it was a 256, now it's a 512. It runs, mounts to my NAS over NFS. It does SSH tunneling, acts as a proxy, acts as an IMAP server for courier IMAP so that I can archive all my mail accounts over SSH into my courier IMAP. It acts as a outbound firewall for the kids. I have 3 Pis in the kids' rooms, all 256, for running child's play and games like that. I have... one here in the back room, which is going Raspbian XMMS. It's going to be running that, and then I've got 2 in my laptop bag just to give to people if they express an interest.
I've got one in Ken's I've got one in Ken's broom closet that serves one of my websites, and then I've got one that I play around with, just kind of using as a, I guess you'd call it a home server, although it's not really in a home. And then I've got another one that I accidentally got because I bought it for my dad, and then he got one for himself for Christmas. So I have like the spare that I'm going to try to turn into like an art project. It's going to be like a movie, but it's going to be all in a terminal, text-based. I'm not really sure what yet, but it's going to be some kind of installation.
Have you tried Slackware?
Yeah, that's what they, both of, all of mine run Slackware.
I don't have one yet, but I was thinking about getting one and trying to set it up with like OwnCloud, actually using that as an OwnCloud server.
I was going to suggest
you could also look at Tenido for that kind of thing. Sure, for this as a home server, you just have to look at the Tenido project, both as inspiration and possibly use some of their code as well. I've got a Tenido 2 in here, and that runs a torrenting service. It runs a web server, runs network attached storage. It runs a bunch of stuff, and that's all off 512 mega memory. So the potential's definitely there.
And that's the little plug server, is it?
That's right. Yeah, you literally plug it in. It's got one USB port and a network port, and you do everything remotely into it.
Yeah, that sounds pretty much how I use my Pi. It's headless.
Is that a Pogo plug?
It's like a Pogo plug, only open source.
Yeah, I would advise against buying Pogo plugs to anybody.
I would just like to welcome Hannah into the chat room.
Welcome, hi, Hannah.
Hey!
Happy New Year.
Hey, Hannah.
Hi, Hannah.
Go on, push the button.
Unmute yourself, Hannah.
She was doing some installing off of USB. I think she's trying to do something with Crunchbang, Philip, as well.
Yeah, I know it would be my fault.
Oh, good, live support on the show.
So I got to ask, what is what's a GPS mouse?
A mouse that knows where it's going?
Or where it's been? Ba-dum.
In Australia, it's where it's been.
It's basically a GPS device. Which hooks into either PS2 or USB, and instead of passing mouse input, it puts in a geographic location.
Oh, okay.
Some place I've got one of those old USB GPS dongles that worked with the Microsoft software and OpenStreetMap.
Yeah, I was going to say a good Raspberry Pi project would be if 5150 strung like two dozen of them together as like a repeating mesh network so he'd get better bandwidth, but then he went and ruined the joke by sounding fine the last couple times.
Sure, by the end of the day, if it isn't the bandwidth, the alcohol will make me sound funny.
Ah, yeah, no doubt.
5150, the end of which day, today or tomorrow?
Yes.
Yeah, either one.
We've crossed the date line already. He could be talking about the end of yesterday.
Yeah, that was Happy New Year to the Northern Territories. Just gone. That's Darwin, Alice Springs, and I can't pronounce the other one. Oura or something.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on. Good job.
Happy New Year, those people.
Happy New Year.
2 minutes removed.
Hello, Nightwise.
Hello, Nightwise.
Hey guys, welcome. I was going to say welcome to Nightwise.com, but it's not my show. Hi guys, how are you? I'm sorry, you give me a microphone and I'm lost. I just was tuning in, we're preparing everything for New Year celebrations here. And as I was doing the dishes and preparing the cutlery, I decided to tune in and listen into what you guys were saying.
Come over to my house and do my dishes.
Yeah, that's a great thing about having a tablet. You can just pop it on the kitchen counter and do all of the work that makes the missus happy, and meanwhile you get the geek out and listen to the HPR cast.
Oh, have you got the Gorilla Glass cutting board one?
Yeah, I am actually doing carrots on a 10-point-inch iPad 3 and cutting carrots on that one. It works great.
That's not for the right.
Okay, I'm going to continue to listen here. And for those of you who have crossed the dateline, I want to wish you a happy 2013. To any Nightwise.com listeners that are listening to the cast as well, it's going to be an awesome year. We've got some nice shows and interesting topics lined up. And I am also looking forward, of course, to another year of fun-filled geekery with the HPR crew.
Thanks very much for stopping by, Nightwise.
Ken, it's always a pleasure. And I know that it's one of your personal hobbies is both listening to me on the podcast and talking to me on IRC at the same time. So if we could do Mumble at the same time the next time together, I would be omnipresent in your universe. And that, to me, would be the greatest honor.
That will freak me out.
Okay. Hey, dudes, have a great time, okay?
Hey, thanks, Nightwise.
See you, Nightwise.
Bye, guys.
Just before you go, Nightwise, can you explain what your subject area is? Because I've never listened to it before.
The Nightwise.com podcast is a podcast with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. So we mainly focus on tuning technology in your way of life and use technology that is cross-platform compatible. So no matter if you're on a Droid, an Android, or an iOS device, a Mac, a Linux, Windows, we go above and beyond to make technology work for you. We got interviews, we got how-tos, we got video episodes. We additionally have some story time episodes where we actually read some articles. So it's kind of everything. But if you're a geek, you'll love it.
I'll be tuning in soon. Thank you.
No worries. And it's been a pleasure coming on.
Just to make sure, he was not really cutting carrots on his tablet, right?
I don't know, but I was going to say that's the best use of an iPad I've heard of yet.
There's an app for
that. Put it past him.
No, I think there really is an app for that, for cutting things on your iPad.
That's good, because it could like show you where to line your knife up or something so you could get even slices.
That's exactly what it does. I'm sure I've seen it.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, it's great. I could finally learn to make like a dove out of a pear.
I think you can use it for slicing, for cutting pizza exactly into even parts, even pie slices.
Does it show you how to slit your wrist too?
And Nightwise, if you're just going to be listening, can you leave the mumble room and go tune into one of the streams? So, seeing as you're on an iPad, I suppose the MP3 stream would be most suitable. That would be hackerpublicradio.org/MP3. That way, we have a limited number of connections in the Mumble server, and we have a large mirror network right now.
I'll drop out a minute ago.
People don't take that as a, you know, you all have to feck off. But if you're just going to be lurking in the background, then drop out onto the live stream, if you wouldn't mind.
No, I'm not taking it that way, mate. I've just got to drop out anyway. I've got stuff to do now.
Well, just go home and take your ball with you.
See you, Les.
I win the game, all right?
No, he meant it the other way. He wants you to quarter pound sand.
Right, gotta go, everyone. Have a good
happy
day.
Happy New Year to you and Mrs. P.
Yeah, happy New Year, Les.
And to everyone.
Happy New Year, Les.
Bye, Les.
See ya.
Come back again.
Bye, Les.
Yeah, so Ken, you weren't around when I said it earlier. It was like the first maybe half an hour or hour of the show. I had mentioned that I've got an HPR coming up. I still have to edit it and submit it, of course, but I have recorded it. And I did an audio version of an intro to editing the OpenStreetMap page.
Oh, cool.
It's an experimental show. I don't know how good an audio version of that's going to be, but I gave it a shot, and I think I did all right.
Yeah, no, cool. There's been several. I've kind of gotten into it. I even did a HPR episode one time on it, of course, as I do with most stuff. And there's been something bugging me here in the neighborhood, but trying to actually edit stuff, whether it's a way or what type of a road it is, it just seems a bit. Seems to be a lot of in knowledge that you need there before you be able to do anything.
Yeah, and I tried to just crack the surface of it, because I realized when I was editing it that once you can just do that, once you can just crack the surface and get past the little hump of a learning curve, everything else seems to kind of fall into place. So I think really all you need is just an intro and then just some practice with it.
You know, you can always do a video if you need to, I think. Dan's series is a prime example of like the perfect way to do that sort of complete explanations.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, we'll see how the audio one goes, and if people think they need a video version of it, I can update it later or something.
I want a video version.
You got it. I already sent you one. You didn't watch that?
No, I missed it.
Oh, man. There was no audio, but it was subtitled.
I need the Braille version.
Yeah, it's. I don't know if closed captions translate that way.
Send him a bag of rocks.
You know, like the candy ticker tape? That's what I'm imagining right now, with the little bumps.
Yeah, that'd be cool if a TV spit those out for closed captioning. There you go, that would work.
Oh, man. Like, a TV watcher doesn't get fat enough.
You know what I used to do? That was pretty. All my friends thought it was funny, like, when I had cable, like, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago, maybe longer. You know, like, Poke, you might know, I don't know if it's like this, like, outside the United States, but, like... Like when you had, you know, the old cable boxes, Pokey. Like, say if you weren't paying for like HBO or Showtime, it would show the channel, but all scrambled, but you could hear the audio.
Yeah.
I would totally watch everything. I didn't care. I didn't see the scrambled video.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
I like to listen to movies, just the audio. If I already watched it, I already know exactly what's going on. So I just listen to it and I recreate everything in my head. So while I'm driving and stuff, it's decent.
Yeah, a while ago, like again 12 years ago or so, I one of my TV broke and I was like, I forget, I'm like buying a new one. So I took the VCR and I hooked up to speakers and I'm just like listening to movies that way. I'm like, hey, this works.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah, that totally works.
You'd save so much power.
How long before we get onto the subject of accessible pornography?
I think you just did it.
I don't know how you do that. You just describe the thing.
Who's doing the show notes for this?
I think you have to ask 5150 about that as well, but maybe it's not appropriate for this time of day.
That depends on where you are.
Why do I get doubled into this one?
Well, that's why he said not at this time of day. A little bit later when you've had a couple, we can volunteer for just about anything.
You catch me in about 12 hours then.
I'm sure someone will bring it up again.
Oh, yeah, wait till Thistleweb gets on.
He's still sleeping off last night, isn't he?
Say, he ought to be ready to go about now.
So 24 hours, how exactly is this going to be put on the feed, or is this even going to be?
One giant download.
Yeah, let's do that.
Well, it'll probably only be, like, when we did the 12-hour episode for the ACF, we did it. We recorded in AUG. It was only like 384 megs, the whole shot. So you'd be looking at under a gig download. It's doable.
Yeah, but we're only releasing this one in FLAC. Our goal is to be the first podcast ever that actually adds physical weight to your MP3 player.
Actually, technically they all would, wouldn't they? Because electrons do weigh.
Yeah, they do. But I was reading a forum one time on little remote control helicopters, and you know, guys were talking about what they did to lighten them up, and they were bragging about the weights. And the one guy mentioned that his weighed X amount of grams, fully charged. And I just thought it was funny that he felt he needed to add fully charged in there.
That is funny. I read some science post about how a Kindle full of books weighs more than a Kindle without any books in it by a very, very, very small percentage because of the electrons.
Yeah, exactly. I remember reading that too, and it's like it's so microscopic though you'd never notice it, but it is actually a teeny tiny bit.
It's less than the difference of light hitting it.
Nice.
So in the dark it would weigh less, which is why I always weigh myself in the dark.
Hey, me too.
You're bad, Jonathan. We're going to get all sorts of complaints from blind users talking about this Jonathan Nadu guy just has no sensitivity.
And they'll be posting it from Sonar. It'll be kind of meta.
Hey, Ken Fallon started it all.
Yes,
sorry?
He did.
How did we work that out?
Jonathan, how big of a users group do you have on Sonar? Like, do you have any numbers of how many people use your software?
I'll get back to you in a second, Ken. I haven't checked, probably up as of a month and a half ago, or roughly. It had been downloaded over 600 times in 30 different countries.
That is a lot if they're actually using it.
Yeah, I couldn't believe all the countries I was seeing. It was like, you know, all the like Finland, Norway, Sweden, Israel, some places in Africa, Japan, China, Belarus. I can't think of any other ones off the top of my head. Argentina. I don't know if I said Poland or not, but yeah, I couldn't believe. Like I said, it was over 30 countries. I was pretty surprised to see that.
What is the current state of text-to-speech in GNU Linux?
Oh, Orca works great. I can, you know, maneuver the GNOME desktop. I can pretty much use everything that I need to. I mean, Audacity's accessible-ish. I can edit, you know, audio. I can, you know, the LibreOffice is accessible. You know, Pigeon. I love Pigeon. I can use Pigeon for all kinds of things, like IRC. I have it hooked up to my Identica account, so you can use Pigeon for all kinds of stuff, which is pretty cool. So I use that for a lot of stuff. Firefox is accessible. Thunderbird. Well, you know, anything in the terminal is basically accessible. So I can do everything I need to do. I strictly use GNU Linux for the last 5 years. That's all I use, and I can do everything I need to do.
How do the actual voices sound? Do they still sound very robotic?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's extreme. It's like from the 80s or whatever, but I don't care. They have other voices that are sort of real-ish sounding, but you lose performance. And so I'll take the robotic voice to get performance. I have it speaking as fast as it can right now, and it does 300 words a minute.
I had a bot set up on Pigeon, and I had the text-to-speech whenever I was gone. So it would just read off whatever anybody sent to me, and it would respond back in the voice with the bot actually saying it.
Yeah, that uses Festival, which has a kind of a more real-sounding voice. Well, I guess you could say it's real-sounding. It's kind of old now, but yeah, Festival is one that you can't really jack the speed up on, so I don't use it.
Jonathan, we've had some discussions about on Hacker Public Radio here about adding some feedback to our episodes going out. Because we're a daily episode, we could provide news and views for the community. For example, if people send feedback via Twitter or something on a particular show, that could be added the following day as text-to-speech. Or if there was an event coming up that people wanted to add, that could be added as text-to-speech. However, we got an awful lot of, I don't know, people didn't seem to particularly like the whole concept of text-to-speech. So can you explain how you intend to make what is really crappy text-to-speech better so that it will be as good? Can you just give us an example of where we are in the open source free software arena as far as text-to-speech goes?
Yeah, unfortunately, for free software, the synthesizers, there's just no good free software solution right now for synthetic speech. Like, that's why I use eSpeak. Like I said, it's just really old-sounding, robotic voice. There's Festival, which has kind of real-sounding voices. There are a couple of other companies where you can buy like a licensed voice, where I think I want to say one company is called like Semstral. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Semstral, something like that, where you can buy a voice for like $30 to $40, and that sounds a lot, you know, more real. But you know, the problem, it's like a, you know, proprietary license. It's not a free synthesizer, so I don't know what your what you could exactly get out of that, like what you can and can't use it for, type of thing. I wanted to work on the foundation. I wanted to put money into building a free software synthesizer, but the couple of board members were like, you know, it would realistically cost probably $30,000 to $40,000 to get one made. And they're like, do you think that would be the best thing to focus on at this time? And I was like, I guess not. I didn't realize it would cost that much. One of the board members has a couple of good contacts at Google, and he said, you know what? You'd probably be better off trying to contact someone at Google and seeing if they would, you know, like, I don't know the current license of, like, the Android text-to-speech for the, like, the screen reader, but it's like, you'd probably have a better chance getting them to free the code for that text-to-speech engine than trying to build one. And he's like, you know, maybe you can talk to them. So I'm currently working on speaking with Google to see if they'll free their synthesizer to be used, like, within GNU Linux or, you know, in general to have better sounding voices.
that falls through. Did you ever think about doing a Pledgy or Kickstarter campaign?
Yeah, I was toying around with the idea of doing one for Sonar, but I never actually launched it. I was going to do an Indiegogo one just because that, you know, that can be used outside of the United States. If you don't live in the States, like, I think with Kickstarter, you can't, like, pledge to the projects. So I was going to do an Indiegogo campaign. You know, I'd have to see if people would be interested in that. I mean, if you're not going to benefit from it, I guess it might be hard to see to get a lot of, you know, movement on, you know, getting 30 or 40 grand to make a free software synthesizer.
I don't think so. I would definitely contribute to that, and I have no need for it. I just think it's something that is completely missing from computing, and I think that needs to be built.
Yeah, I mean, it would be great because that, unfortunately, is kind of a hurdle for some, like, especially blind users where, you know, they might install Sonar or try it out and be like, ah, you know, this voice, it's so horrible. It sounds like an old robot. And, you know, I think Klaatu's heard me say this before where it's, you can basically equate it to, like, someone seeing a desktop and being, like, completely ugly, and they're used to seeing, like, you know, a really pretty, like, Mac or, you know, the Windows 7 desktop or however those look. They're used to seeing a really great desktop, but you introduce them to GNU Linux, they're going to be like, this looks awful, I'm not going to use this. Same thing for a blind user. They're used to, like, really good-sounding voices on the Mac and Windows, and they're going to hear this 1980s robot, they're going to be like, I'm not going to use this. This is, like, taking five steps back.
There is another route you could go, which is to hire Ellen McLean to read everything for you on your computer.
Well, it's actually all the speech synthesizers are actually all done with algorithms, surprisingly enough. So it's, they kind of do take people talking, but it's more done with algorithms to get the proper sounds out of, like, the language.
What about stuff like Hatsune Miku, like Vocaloid stuff that actually uses specific syllables? Have you ever thought of looking into that as a solution rather than actually like an algorithm, but like samples?
Yeah, that the problem with that though is when you start speeding it up like a lot of blind users would do, it gets extremely choppy, and you can see the inconsistency just trying to patch different like prefixes and suffixes together. It just doesn't come out. It works fine if you play it like slow, but if you start to speed it up, it just gets all choppy and it doesn't sound good anymore.
That makes sense. I wondered about that for a long time because the Vocaloid synthesizers are so much better than anything else, but if you can't speed them up, that doesn't really help.
Yeah, the Mac actually does that. Their voice, Alex, that's on the voiceover on the Mac, it sounds really good if you keep it at its, you know, default speed, but if you start to turn it up, it just doesn't sound good anymore.
That's one thing you might not know if you've not had any involvement with accessibility, that the rates of speech which blind people use when they're interfacing with the computer really do get quite high, much faster than normal spoken speech, don't they?
Oh yeah, like I said, I have Orca turned up all the way right now, and it reads at 300 words a minute. So it's my way of scanning the screen. I just get to talk really fast and listen closely for what I'm looking for, and pull out what I need and what I don't need.
It was funny when you originally said that. You said you had it turned up as fast as you can, but it sounded like as fast as Ken, and we all know what a fast talker he is. So.
Yeah, one of the board members actually of the foundation built a library called Sonic, and he got that included into eSpeak now. So if you go and change the .conf file, you can actually get Orca to talk up to at least like 1,200 words a minute now.
You really hear that fast?
Yeah, you get used to it. I mean, it takes a little bit of getting used to it. I mean, you couldn't go from what I'm at to up to 1,200, but you could definitely get used to it.
Could you actually stream some of that into the room so we could get a sample of that?
Oh, he does it all the time, for crying out loud.
I could try it, but I have to have the control button pushed down as my push to talk, so I'll see what I can do. Give me a second here.
Oh, I don't know if you might not be set up for it because it's not by default, Jonathan, but a lot of people have a double tap for their push to talk and it'll leave your mic open.
Yeah, I don't have that set up actually. Hang on one second. Did you hear that?
That is fast.
Yeah, I'll arrow down. I was just raising and lowering the volume.
I think I only heard one word.
Was that 300 words? That wasn't 300 words a minute, was it?
I mean, it reads at 300 words a minute, but you know, if it's only two or three words, then obviously it, you know. But maybe I could find a doc. I'll pull up a document, maybe, and then I'll have it read that. Hang on a second.
You could barely hear it when it's at normal speed with those robotic voices.
Probably get used to the way the syntax sort of breaks on certain words, and you'd be able to identify them if you used it enough, though.
I wonder if, and I wonder if Jonathan knows this, but I wonder if the geeks are the ones who speed it up, and like if normal computer users keep it slow. You know, if it's a, sort of akin to one of us using Fluxbox instead of GNOME, you know, something.
That is a great question.
Yeah.
Well, there's actually a study that proves that if you listen to things faster, you actually contain a lot of it better, because when you're listening to it at a much faster rate, your brain focuses on it and you have to pay attention to what's being said. And if it's talking slow, that's when your mind wanders and you start daydreaming, and you're like, before you know it, you're like, oh, wait, what was going on? Oh, man, I just listened to the last 2 minutes of that conversation. So when it's talking really fast, your brain focuses on it and you maintain more of what's being said. I know
also that it's a bit of a bugbear for some podcast listeners, people that put audio behind podcasting, because they do listen to it at 1.5 times the speed, and then the audio behind can actually detract from what's being said.
Yeah, I actually have a special like audio player thing, and I actually listen to podcasts at 4x, so I can listen to an hour podcast in 15 minutes.
Are you a wizard?
No.
I know, it really does sound pretty magical. I'm not doing the speed listening yet, and maybe I will someday, but that is crazy. I don't know if I could do it.
What's cool too is about the way my player handles the speed, where even though it's 4 times as fast, it doesn't make anything sound like chipmunks or whatever. It adjusts the audio, so it's just, you know, if I'm listening to GNU World Order, it's just Klaatu talking really fast.
I don't think I could go to 4 times. I think 1.5 or maybe double speed.
Well, yeah, but when you get used to that, then to you that's normal. And then you speed it up more. And then, you know, even 4x is normal for me, but I can't go any faster now.
So do you get annoyed at talking to us in real life?
Yeah, this real time thing sucks.
No, but it is weird, though, when you listen to, like, a live stream, you're like, oh my goodness, they sound like they're on Quaaludes or whatever, because you're used to it, hearing it so fast, you know?
You're like, get on with it already. Now, I try listening to podcasts at, like, 1.5 speed, and I do it sometimes if I'm, like, way behind and I really want to listen, but I find that, like, if it's a podcast I really, really like, I want to listen to it at regular speed just to savor it. I don't like that they're over so fast.
I have a pretty long commute, so I usually like it to last as long as possible, so it lasts the whole trip.
I'm going to have to experiment with listening to Linux Outlaws and hearing Fab rant at 4 times the speed. That's got to be done.
Oh my gosh, that would sound hilarious.
I got to say, though, I think music podcasts at 4 times, it just wouldn't be the same experience.
Yeah, no, that doesn't work. Like, at the end of Linux Outlaws, when they play a song, whatever, it doesn't sound good.
Well, just put, like, you know, trippy beats in the background, and then you've got, like, you know, Acid House or something, and you're okay.
It'd be cool for someone to actually do that, like, to create a song in mind with someone playing at 4 times the speed. So
yeah,
it would sound really messed up if you listen to it at regular speed, but if you had it cranked up, it would sound what it was intended to sound like. That would be awesome.
I believe that's how Pendulum makes all of their music.
I think you're looking for Napalm Death or...
Oh, jeez.
KMFDM.
Any death metal. I mean, just any growling death metal.
Actually, with the podcast. Hello.
Hey, Ken.
Yeah, I speed my podcast up about 2.5 now. And with the podcast, I have to... And also Criven's and Kevy's podcast... it annoys me because they got music on in between.
I've just been telling them that, Ken.
And I can't understand the Crivens at normal speed, let alone at 2.5 speed.
Nice.
I keep trying to read the phonetic notes that go with the show and still don't understand it.
So, Jonathan, do you have specific recommendations for Sonic in terms of hardware? Because it is actually different my alarm just went off. Because it is actually different in terms of what you actually have to do with it in terms of workflow. So does stuff like video chipsets matter as much if you're using it as a blind user?
Not really, no. I mean, I guess the only problem you'd fall into if you're using the GNOME shell and you didn't support 3D acceleration, but again, that doesn't really affect you because then you would just go into GNOME fallback and you can use Orca no problem under that also. So for me, a video doesn't really matter. Like, I haven't had a problem installing the daily build of Ubuntu 13.04 where my son helps me install it at first and then I tweak it all out. So we got it installed and it rebooted and I was like, all right, what do you see now? He's like, nothing, the screen's black. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah. So I was like, So I put on my headphones, I logged in, got Orca up and running. The computer was running totally fine, even though the screen was totally black. So I just did everything from there.
Now, audio-wise, did you have any problems with Pulse Audio?
I did when they first introduced it. It was awful. But now I think it's Pulse Audio is at where it was intended to be at. I don't have any problems anymore with it. But for the first couple releases of any distro, you were better off just removing it totally out of the system and everything would work fine. But for the first couple releases, it was not good. But it's way better now, though.
Hey, Jonathan. We have a question from Pipeman Music about running text-to-speech and Jack. I don't know if you've ever run Jack, so do you have any experience with that?
No, I don't. KDE and Qt apps just recently became accessible to Orca, so I have not messed around with QJack control or anything like that. I have not ventured into that yet.
Can you get on that and get back to us? You got about 13 hours left.
Oh yeah, I'll be on that.
Actually, it's probably a lot more than 13 hours. I just made up a number.
Yeah, that sounded vaguely optimistic.
Yeah, I'll make it about 21 hours.
That's what I was going to say, about 21 hours.
The Pokey, you're way off. Math isn't your strong point.
No. Like I said, it wasn't even math. It was just BS.
Wasn't there a limit?
He expects to pass out.
Didn't catch a word of that 5150.
Oh, you keep ruining my joke. I said it's 13 hours because that's about the time Pokey's going to fall asleep.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
Pokey, you're going to make it through the entire 24 hours, right?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to be here the whole time. I got some stuff going on today that came up kind of last minute. I'm going to be here as much as I can, but I have no idea how much that'll even be.
I plan to stick with the whole podcast, so I should be around most of the time.
I'll be here until the missus comes back, which is about another 2 or 3 hours.
Has anybody messed around with Opus?
Not yet. But I heard Mumble is actually switching over to Opus codec.
I can't wait for Opus.
If you install the development build on Rockbox, you can get Opus.
And I think I think the latest versions of FFmpeg will convert to Opus also. Klaatu, you should know that.
I don't know that for sure, but I'm pretty sure you're right. I haven't played around with it either, so.
Yeah, the trouble is it's not stable in anything yet.
True, but it's coming along. The default Opus encode is pretty much stable. And it's in VLC and Firefox by default, so most people could be able to run it.
It's in the latest Firefox? Like, what is it, 17 now or something ridiculous like that?
Yeah, I think 17 is the latest.
Yeah, it's in the latest Firefox and VLC, the latest one, I think that's 2.0.5.
Cool, okay.
Guys, I think we should just take a minute to wish Happy New Year to everybody in Japan, South Korea, a small region of Indonesia, a small region of Russia, Paulu, North Korea, and Timor-Leste.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year. And thanks for all the Android devices.
Okay, let's just make sure that we all have... We're just going to stop the recorder for a second.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.